Good morning to everybody today on this Friday one. We're on Friday. It's Friday Eve, as Felicia Middlebrooks calls it. Hello, Steve Bertrand.
Hello.
You're scared today.
Jill Egan.
What happened? How come you didn't know Jill was doing traffic?
You know what? It's just been rapid fire up here and different meetings and everything, and I just had a little spasm in my head.
Well, it's okay. Bill Leff is not here today. He's taking the day off, and here's why. We are going to be talking to Salzwedel, Ryan Salzwedel.
It's Burrow. Don't do that to him.
No, Ryan. No, I hang up on Ryan Burrow. Ryan Salzwedel will be in. And the last time Ryan, the host of the Weekend Workbench, the last time Ryan was on, I wasn't here. And I guess it says something in Salzwedel's contract that he can't be in when we're both here. So Bill had to take the day off just to make it right. And then, on top of everything, Steve Cochran ran late, which never
That's a first.
Happens.
600 shows deep, the Steve Cochran show, and that's the first time we've been late to anything.
Kevin Powell has stayed over. I've held him back. Mm-hmm. You're staying after class today.
Mm-hmm.
How do you not have time for Hawkopedia? Has that ever happened before?
Well,
Dave would not let that happen.
Well, as you know, things happen throughout the length of a show, Wendy. Some guests are late, so we have to move things around. Things get pushed back. Interviews go long, things like that. So
all
that's
right.
What happened today. It was a packed show.
Well, we invited you to stay after class and do mm-hmm. I have a question about this whole Hawkopedia.
Hawkopedia.
Didn't it used to be Hawktionary?
It was Hawktionary, where Dave Ennett would give the definition of a hockey term. We did a lot of them, and we ran out of hockey terms. So we figured Hawkopedia would sort of help us expand the hockey talk. We can talk about, as we're here today, the World Cup of Hockey is coming back this September, so Dave can just sort of talk about that within it.
And, you know, the whole wiki pages are very, right. I don't trust Wikipedia because anybody can get on there and edit things. In fact, every time we have a celebrity on, we go to their Wikipedia page and ask mm-hmm. them what is wrong, and typically there's a ton of stuff wrong.
Right.
But so if you're doing, and this is just, you know, a conceptual thing, and it's probably mm-hmm. me overthinking it, but shouldn't it be Hawkipedia, like Wikipedia, instead of Hawkopedia?
We were going for Encyclopedia,
oh.
Hawkopedia, and then Steve said exactly what you said, but we already had the production made and everything. We had gone too far.
There's no turning back.
There's no turning back.
All right, well, I'm in the middle of a Kevin sandwich right now because Kevin Powell from Steve Cochran's show has stayed after to do the Hawkopedia. Kevin Richter, of course, producing the show.
We should get Kevin McDonough down here, too.
Mm-hmm. Kind of a trifecta.
Yeah.
Well, town executive, yes, we could bring him down. But do we have anything we need to play? Is there any
open?
Yeah,
so there's an open here. This is all put together in one package because Dave Ennett is off, of course, Northwestern visiting Penn State tonight. So he recorded this in advance, and we'll just go ahead and fire it. And it's not playing. What's going on here? You got me up?
I know. Now I do.
There
Wait,
we
let
go.
Me, let me
okay,
get
let
you
me
up.
Start over. Here we go.
God, that's it.
There
we're
you go,
done.
Nick. Ready? Here we go.
The Blackhawks!
Blackhawks Radio.
720 WGN.
Uh-huh. The Steve Cochran Show presents Hawk.
Chicago.
Opedia.
We may get a fracas here before it all ends.
A what?
In today's Hawkopedia, now that we know the rosters for the World Cup of Hockey and the Blackhawks who will be representing their countries, what is the World Cup? It's a two-week international tournament that will be played from September 17th to October 1st, featuring the best players from the NHL. There will be eight teams, the U.S., Canada, Czech Republic, Russia, Sweden, and Finland, plus Team Europe, with players from countries not otherwise represented, and Team North America, made up of U.S. and Canadian players who are under the age of 24. The eight teams are split into two groups, with group play beginning September 17th at the Air Canada Centre in Toronto. The three other teams in Group A with the U.S., the Czech Republic, Europe, and Canada. The U.S. and Canada play each other Tuesday, September 20th. The top two finishers from each group advance to the semifinals, with the winners going on to the best of three finals starting September 27th. Training camps will open September 4th with Team USA training at Nationwide Arena in Columbus, home of the Blue Jackets. That's our Hawkopedia for today.
What an honor it was to have Dave Ennett as part of the Bill and Wendy show today, and you as well, Kevin Powell.
Yeah, I was waiting for that, Wendy. Not a problem. I enjoyed sticking around. And
is there anyone from our beloved Blackhawks that is going to head over to the World Cup?
Just nine of them, Wendy.
Just?
There's quite a few talented players on this roster, obviously. For Team Russia, Artem Anisimov and Artemi Panarin, the rookie sensation for your Chicago Blackhawks. Corey Crawford getting the nod for Team Canada. Duncan Keith as well. Jonathan Toews will also be heading in. Patrick Kane, the lone USA representative. Teuvo Teravainen will be playing for Team Finland. And who am I missing here? Niklas Hjalmarsson for Team Sweden and Marian Hossa for Team Europe. So nine of them. Coach Quinville will be an assistant coach for Team Canada as well. And Stan Bowman, general manager of the Blackhawks, will also be kind of overseeing, co-managing Team North America, which is made up of North American players under the age 23 or under, as Dave just explained.
How great is our team?
They are phenomenal, and last night was one of the better games I've seen them play in a while from start to finish, beating the Red Wings 5-2. But right from the start, Brent Seabrook put one in the back of the net and
put the biscuit in the basket.
There you go. In the second period, back-to-back power play goals. The second line of Artemi Panarin and Patrick Kane, the two wingers in that line, seem to be almost unstoppable at this point and are fun to watch. So they're rolling.
Early game tonight.
Early game tonight, which is phenomenal. 6 o'clock face-off, 5:30 pregame with Jed.
I got to get, there's the listener who is riled up between the difference of the term face-off and puck drop.
There's nothing different, but yes, we get texters in the morning as well what the proper term is.
Maybe they're both acceptable.
In my book, they're both acceptable as well. I say face-off just to avoid getting the text from the listener in the morning, who is always the same guy who will dispute that and say it is, if I say puck drop, he'll say, no, it's face-off in hockey.
You know, social media and texting has ruined a radio broadcaster's lives. Can I just say that?
Yeah, it's also made it, well, you've been doing this a while, Wendy. You think it's ruined them? Why?
No, I just feel, you know, people are mean.
People are mean. I enjoy scanning through our text line. I don't know about you. They're funny. The listeners are funny, and they're smart, and they point things out that we don't even notice. But yeah, there are some angry texts once in a while.
Just why do we have to be so angry? Why does Mitt Romney have to be so angry?
All right.
That's
from
a
hockey
whole,
to Mitt
yes,
Romney. Nice segue. Here we go.
That's what we'll be talking about later on today as well. And Steve Bertrand is here. Bill Leff is off today because, again, he and I cannot be here on the same day that Ryan Salzwedel is here from Weekend Workbench. Season 4 has started. We're going to talk to him about that after the 10:30 news. So stick around. It's Bill and Wendy, and we're Bill Light today, 720 WGN. Thank you, Kevin.
You got it, Wendy.
Bit of a White Sox fan. Spring training starts today. Today's the first games, correct, for the Sox and the Cubs?
For the first games, yes. They've been out there for a couple weeks now, but it's a spring season opener for the Cubs and the White Sox today.
And Kevin Powell is hanging around. It's kind of fun to hang out on the show, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
pressure's
like
off.
With you guys. Yeah, I guess.
You work really hard on the morning show with Steve Cochran, and now you're just hanging out.
Are you saying it's really hard to work with Steve, Kevin? Is that what you're...
I knew Bertrand would come in. No. There's equal amounts of pressure all around. I'll go with that.
So working with Wendy's high pressure for you?
In a different way, probably.
Just you, Bertrand. You're the one that gives me the headache.
All right, so you're going to spring training. You're going to be covering it for WGN Radio, correct,
yeah,
Mundo?
Yeah, I'll be out there from March 14th through roughly the 18th or 19th, and we'll catch some Cubs games, catch some Sox games. Cubs and Sox play that week as well on the 18th, so we'll finish off the week with that game, which will be fun. So lots of storylines following with both of these teams, and I'm excited for just the sunshine and the warm weather, Wendy.
Yeah, but it's going to be work for you, Kevin. It's not
it is.
You know, you can just sit there and suntan in the bleachers.
No, no, not at all. And I'm planning on jumping on the air with I think the plan is with every show, so I'm sure we'll talk again when I'm out there, Wendy. But I'll come out with Steve in the morning, with you guys, with Ro, with Justin at night. And in this digital media world we live in, I'll be posting videos, live blogs, Twitter, Facebook, social media, all that good stuff.
You are getting so busy. You know, it started with just you and your food blog, and now everything has completely exploded with young Kevin Powell, hasn't it?
It sounds so sad. Just me and my food blog.
Can I say that, speak for the rest of the staff, that we're really ready for you to start eating better again?
Why is that, Steve?
Because there used to be a lot more food around here.
Well, you don't necessarily mean better, because I have been eating better. You mean eating more again.
More, right. Yes. Eating more.
Yeah, you know, I can't win, because when I would get food delivered on a near daily basis, and we'd bring up the leftovers to the programming kitchen area, and everyone would devour the leftovers, and I would get yelled at because everyone was dieting. And then now I'm eating better, and we're not getting food as much, and now everyone's giving me crap for not getting food for the staff. Can't win, guys. Can't win.
Damned if you do, damned if you don't.
That's right.
What does Bill always say? No good undeed unpunished. What
exactly.
Does he say?
That's what he says.
No, he
That's...
does not. He says it more mellifluously than I do.
No good deed goes unpunished.
Thank you very much, Steve. Yes, and that is true. You look great. We had talked about this on the beginning of our show last week when I had mentioned the quesalupa to you, and I felt really guilty because you haven't been eating fast food in a couple of months, and you are going to go through now the month of March?
Yeah, and actually, real quickly...
What's happened to you?
I don't know.
What have you done with Kevin Powell?
I know. But you know what's funny? You didn't even mention the quesalupa to me. You go, Kevin, I need to talk to you for a second. I go, what's up? And you said, I had the most delicious fast food item. And you didn't have to say anything else.
I go,
I bet it was the quesalupa, wasn't it? And you go, yes, it was the quesalupa, and it was delicious. And that is the one thing I've been craving through this. Through these past couple months of no fast food is Taco Bell.
Do you know they have a breakfast quesalupa also?
Yeah, I think a newer one?
Yeah, because they had the breakfast crunch wrap.
Because at one point I had eaten everything off their breakfast menu.
Attaboy, we
so
miss
good.
That, Kevin.
The five-layer burrito, the cheesy gordita crunch, I miss you.
All right, well, I just want it to be said, because Bill said, I said I was a bad friend, and I was, because you've been doing so well, you're working out, you're down, what, about 80 pounds?
Roughly, give or take.
And Bill's like, how could you do that to him? And I said, I didn't really have a chance to tell him what it was. I just said, oh, my God, I had the best thing. And he looked at me and said, quesalupa. It's like you just grabbed that thought bubble from above my head.
Well, it's like right when I give up fast food, everyone's stepping up their game. But it's kind of like when you know, if you break up with a girlfriend and then you go about your daily business and all you see are these happy couples in love. I break up with fast food and now all I see is Taco Bell and McDonald's featuring these items on their menu that look so damn good and I want them. Like McDonald's testing out the chicken and waffle sandwich.
Yes. Not here, though, just in Ohio,
they always
I thought.
Do it in Ohio first.
What does Ohio have that we don't have?
I don't know.
Skyline Chili, have you ever had that?
Uh-uh.
That's in Ohio.
Burger King.
Cincinnati.
You know, they have the hot dogs now. The King has a Whopper or whatever, or more than...
10 chicken or 10 chicken nuggets for $1.50. Can't beat that.
And a Butter Whopper or something like that. It's an elongated burger with butter on it.
This is what you would call trolling. The fast food restaurants are trolling me as I've given up on that.
To turn us into trolls. That's what they're trying to do.
I'll keep battling for you guys and try to get you more food. We have food coming Tuesday. We'll have a St. Patrick's sort of themed breakfast.
Does anybody else but me make corned beef and cabbage every single solitary St. Patrick's Day?
So good.
It's probably the most... globule-like meat I've ever seen in my life, but boy, is it good.
Very good.
Best meal of the year.
Isn't it?
Yes.
Some people don't like it.
Well, as a kid, all I ate was the corned beef, but now I'll still eat the cabbage and the carrots and the potatoes.
You gotta have it.
Yeah.
Goes
delicious.
Together. Kevin Powell, thank you so much. You're back tomorrow with the Steve Cochran Show, huh?
Actually, I will be working on the Ro Khan Show tomorrow through Wednesday doing sports on that program. 3 to 7.
A lot of Ro Khan stealing from the Steve Cochran Show I heard earlier this morning.
Yeah, this was addressed.
Even approaching Ross Cochran and asked if, you know, he wanted to be Ro's son.
just for a few days. Mr. Cat's going to be busy and on the road, and things kind of got moved around. So I'll jump on with Ro for a few days, and then I'll be back.
It's one big happy family around here, isn't it?
It is.
We're missing Bill Left today, but he will return tomorrow. It's 7:20. Thanks, Kevin. WGN. Hello, it's WGN Radio, 7:20 a.m., and I'm Wendy Snyder. Bill Leff is off today. In the studio with us right now, the host of Weekend Workbench, which is kicking off season four, he's Saul Zwedel, ladies and gentlemen. Ryan Saul Zwedel. Hi, Ryan.
Hey there.
And you have brought with you your partner in crime, Sean Bueno.
Yes, our expert handyman, Sean Bueno. Sean, go ahead and introduce yourself.
You just did a perfect job of it. So, Sean Bueno, expert handyman, seen on Weekend Workbench once in a while, sometimes confused with being a co-host, but I'm not. It's just Ryan's the host, and I'm the expert, and everybody's okay with that.
And yes, that's why
he
this
gets
works.
Paid a lot more money than I do, man. He owns his own business. I just wanted to make a note. He's there. He can be hired. So he does a good job. He comes on the show, and he's the only person that's stuck with me since season one. So Sean and I are the only holdovers now going into our fourth season here. So
that shows a lot of faith in you, Ryan, that he believes in you, first of all.
He lets me use a nail gun now. He's like, I'm like his kid. I'm all growed up.
We've actually gone. I mean, the whole premise of the show is it's DIY. So it's like the host is learning from different experts. And the first year, Ryan was pretty nervous around the tools and didn't know a lot of things going on. There was a nice rhythm to the show, but now this year we actually filmed one segment where he's doing the project.
Yes.
And I'm standing on the sidelines. So, you know, over those 4 years, he's grown a lot, and we're just having fun with it.
And that's what it's about. I've always liked to try DIY stuff, and I bring this up every time you guys are in, but I changed the wax ring on my toilet. That was the first thing because there was a leak underneath.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, YouTube helps a lot. So I went and did it. And I was nervous, but I figure we have 2.5 baths. This one, it was out of commission, I will tell you, for a couple of weeks because I took my time and did a little on the weekends. But if you can't do it, you can call in the experts. It's that first time you try something, when you accomplish it, that all of a sudden you get the confidence to try something else.
Absolutely. And you hit the nail right on the head with that. And you talked about YouTube. All our segments are on YouTube as well. So, you know, you get them on WGN, you get them on CLTV, and we're pushing about 1 million views on YouTube now with some of our videos, which is really cool. You know, it's no viral cat video or anything like that, but all of it's right there. And then, Sean, we walk you through step by step. We walk you through cost, and we let you know how easy or how hard the project is going to be. So it's really cool.
Are we going to do some myth busting today? Is that a good idea?
Yeah, we brought a list of myths, and you know, in my background, I deal with people. I'm a general contractor by trade, and I also own a handyman service as well. So we're always coming across different myths that are out there. We've covered a couple of these on the show as well. So yeah, you know, that'd be a good time to do it. Yeah,
the first myth was that Ryan couldn't work with power tools. So we. It took us 2 seasons, but without cutting off a finger. So yeah, we're at 1,000, over 1,000 days without a workplace incident. So, we're pretty good, man. Not only is our show informative, but it's safe too. Safety never takes a vacation.
All right. So fourth season is kicking off this weekend.
Yes. Sunday at 11 on, WGN, we're going to be doing a before and after episode. It's really cool. Sean's in two of the projects with me. We created a frame chalkboard wall, and then we also have an informative segment, drilling into tile, kitchen tile to be exact, to add some storage to the kitchen. Sean and I did numerous ones like that, and it is something that you need to see because it is not like drilling into drywall or drilling into wood. You can ruin it, and then you, next thing you know, you're going to have to watch our segment down the road installing a new kitchen backsplash, which we have coming up this year too. And then also, thanks to our friends at Ace Hardware, they brought in national paint expert Amy Howard, so she's going to be with us on a bunch of segments. Really, we got a lot of girl power this year, which is really cool. I know when you think of Sean and I, you don't think of girl power. But we brought in a lot.
Well, maybe
of,
I don't, but some I know. People
well,
might.
But that's just it. We brought in a lot, so we're trying to get more towards the Pinterest crowds and things like that with some of the projects too on an artistic side. So there's really something for every DIYer in our show.
We have Ryan Saul Zwedel in the studio, host of Weekend Workbench on WGN TV and CLTV, and Sean Bueno, the expert handyman. Can I tell you how much I love Pinterest?
Oh, it's spectacular.
Just and getting ideas.
It is. And where else can you get ideas for, like, chicken fajitas and repairing a toilet or, you know, adding
sometimes those
to
go hand in hand, which is really ironic.
Yeah, so it
there.
Just depends on your mood. And I love the Pinterest 100 where you can kind of go there and see the different, you know, top 100 projects and whatnot. It definitely is a great resource. And like you were saying earlier, you know, you've got 2.5 bathrooms in your house that you have to repair. And do you know how much money you're saving by doing it yourself? You know, and so all
at
these
least
resources.
Trying.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Now, there is definitely a time and a place to call in a professional. Anytime you're dealing with electrical, you know, of course, and certain plumbing projects, but definitely toilet repairs and whatnot. You're saving yourself a ton of cash. And it's actually kind of fun doing it as well.
It really is fun. And I mean, you know, I had to, the husband doesn't even want to do anything handy, which is fine. Bill's kind of like that too. And you know your limits. It's like, you know, my husband grew up when something was broken, his dad would call someone.
Oh, sure.
My grandfather was kind of handy. My brother was kind of handy. And I just like to try it. I like to get my hands dirty.
Yeah. And also, you know, we all, like I said, we do the DIY stuff. And when Sean comes in, but then we also try to do an artistic thing too, so to avoid you from going out to the big box store and having to buy new shelves. We're going to teach you how. I just did a segment 2 days ago where for less than $20, we created a whole shelves for a bathroom with scrap wood. Sean and I put together this year. It's going to come up on an episode with just some scrap wood. We built some flower boxes. Pallets are big. Last year we did with radio host Amy Guth here from WGN. We did a pallet bench. You can really do anything with pallets.
The alley is really the hipster lumberyard nowadays.
Yeah. But
Logan
I mean,
Square, people going around looking for pallets all the time.
What's old is new, man. What's old and what you can make new again and repurpose, that is a huge element to our show. It's just finding those things. We have one segment this year where we're going to take an old, really nice higher-end coffee table, but we turn it into like a bench for the end of the bed. We upholster it, did that out at Megmaid. So, you know, just really cool projects that I wouldn't even think of being able to do, but... Excuse me, you can hear my cold. But lucky for me, I have some really creative producers. We have some really creative producers who are a lot smarter than me that pick out these projects. So it's really awesome. They really stepped up the game for season 4.
And what Ryan also said is avoiding the big box. Now, there is a time and a place where you're going to need to go to a large hardware store, a large lumber yard. But we have a partnership with Ace Hardware as well, where people are actually going in to your local independent hardware store where you actually have people that are there to help you. So, like, we have Pinterest, we have YouTube, and that's great. But sometimes it's nice to have that personal touch as well, where you can actually go in and say, hey, what size drill bit do I need, or what type of drill bit do I need to go into this type of tile? And you've got somebody there, and that's also the agenda of the show as well, just promoting that and using a real-life human as a resource as well.
Yeah, and that's so nice when you're working on a project and you bring, you know, the screw that just broke, you can bring it in to say, this is exactly what I need.
Yep.
Because I've learned so many times of not bringing that thing in and making 3 trips over there.
Always take pictures of everything that you do with your phone. Bring your phone into the hardware store. I've never been into an Ace or anywhere else where they just weren't willing to just jump and help you, you know. So these people are really knowledgeable. They'll come help you out with pretty much any project.
And keep
you
your
have.
Bodybuilding photos separate from
keep
your,
my bodybuilding,
you know,
photos
hardware questions.
Did I mix those up again?
That's so funny. Yes, here I'm working on this project. Oh, sorry, that's just me.
Whoa.
Don't I look buff,
Grandma? What? Sorry,
stop it. No. All right, he is Ryan Salzwedel. He's the host of Weekend Workbench. New season starts this Sunday, 11 a.m. on WGN TV.
Yes,
and CLTV. You can find it as well. Sean Bueno, the expert handyman. We're going to take a quick break and come back and do some home improvement myth busting here on 720 WGN. Wendy Snyder here. Bill Left is taking the day off. We are talking to Ryan Salzwedel, the host of Weekend Workbench on WGN-TV and CLTV, and Sean Bueno, his expert handyman and crazy partner in crime. Can I call you that?
Wacky. We're very wacky. Now, speaking
say,
of
yeah.
wacky, the blooper reel came out today. I mean, everybody looks forward to the show on Sunday at 11 on WGN-TV. But the blooper reel is probably out on Facebook right now.
Blooper reel from episode 1 is on Facebook right now on our Facebook page. So you can check it out. It's pretty funny. You kind of see What happens? Sean is the star of this one.
I bet.
Yeah, of this one today. It was while we were filming, I think maybe it was the chalkboard wall episode we were doing. So, a lot of things get said, behind the scenes of a DIY home show. There's a lot of innuendo, things like that. There's a lot of, grunting and stuff like that. So you guys will all enjoy, check it out. It's pretty fun. Each week they release one too for all 13 episodes for each season. So it's pretty cool. It's just a little behind the scenes so you can kind of see our personalities that don't always get to end up in the show when we're trying to instruct people.
Right, you're polished when the cameras are rolling.
You would like to think I'm polished. Yeah.
And we all want to see the Ryan that we saw last year, that we had a freshly painted bathtub. It was a DIY painted bathtub project. Freshly painted, and here comes Ryan stepping into the bathtub with his shoe.
That was a lot of fun. We were in a dirty warehouse, and then Sean let out a nice little word for me there when I ruined about an hour and a half.
Is this edited?
Yes, edited. So yeah, but it was pretty funny though. But it was like, I mean, those are the kind of things though, like you don't think about when you're doing the DIY stuff. So it's nice so you can kind of see that and go, okay, these guys make mistakes too. So
everybody does.
Yeah, exactly, and that's the point of it. It's that you're going to do these projects, you're going to make mistakes. But have some fun with it while you're doing it, you know?
And we do like to interact on Facebook as well. So you can actually jump on our Facebook page, come up with new ideas for future projects or ask questions. We just dealt with somebody last week that had some questions about a home improvement project that they were trying to tackle, and we were able to help them out. And we actually had some other viewers kicking in their advice and whatnot. So it was actually a lot of fun. So we love interacting on Facebook. Bring it on. Check out our site and check out our page and hit us up and interact through the show even too. Yeah. That's kind of fun as well. So
social media has changed the way things work, hasn't it? For a good way.
Absolutely.
Most of the time.
Absolutely.
Unless you get
people. You know, if you get sick of all those political posts on Facebook, head over to our page and have some fun with the DIY stuff, man. That's the thing.
Except it's a time suck for me. I should be doing stuff, but no, I'm looking at all these ideas and projects I could be doing. And let me ask you a question. They have these things for appliances now where if you're not quite ready to upgrade and say you have black appliances, which were pretty popular, mm-hmm. but maybe you now have a black countertop. I'm not speaking from experience or anything, but you'd like maybe stainless steel. They make like a metal stainless steel contact type paper that you can put on your appliances. Does that really work?
I think I saw that on Shark Tank. I think a few years ago they had a group of people were coming up with prints and different things you can apply to your appliances. So here's my thoughts on that. You just kind of have to see what your cost of that is. I would imagine
it's not cheap, but it's like $70 to cover your refrigerator.
Yeah, I guess it depends if you want to live there or if you're trying to sell it. What it's going to appeal to a seller, probably not, as opposed to if you got to live there and you're okay with it, then
My other issue with that is a lot of that decal type stuff is very difficult to apply the first time. So you may be in for $70 times two or three times before you actually get it perfect. So the quick answer is, yeah, it's in an inexpensive fix. It's not going to be perfect, but the cost of a new fridge nowadays is, you know, pretty expensive. So $70 is not going to put you back that much. And to get you through a year or two until you're ready to make a larger investment, why not? Go ahead.
All right. We didn't get to our myths.
Oh, go to Facebook and we'll chat later on about all these different myths.
The myth is that we had a list of myths.
Yeah.
That's the myth today.
But this is, this is just our backup. I'm glad we were able to talk about this show.
Happy to be able to talk to you without Bill getting in the way. So this is, we're just happy. We're getting to know Wendy today, and that's what we came here to do. So this is nice.
I will tell you, the last time you guys were on, I had taken the day off, and yes. I was listening, and I was actually jealous I wasn't there because this is something I'm so into. Bill's into movie and TV.
Yeah,
and
when
I was
Pat
like,
the
Uber
critic is here, Bill's right on fire. Yeah,
right. You guys are friends. All right, give us a couple of myths. Like, you see this. I got a question about a bath fan. We have the kids' bathroom. When you have two teenagers and they take 45-minute showers.
Yes.
I know what you're doing in there, boys, but 45 minutes and there's no exhaust fan in there. It's like the paint on the ceiling is actually starting to come off. Yeah.
And eventually
is that because of the moisture?
That's because of the excess moisture. So you definitely need a bathroom fan for any situation like that. You need to get that moisture out of the room to protect the paint on the walls and ceilings. Sometimes in older homes or homes where it's difficult to get an exhaust system in there, there are different applications that you can put on the walls and ceilings, different types of paint that are moisture resistant or mold and mildew resistant. However, that being said, it's not mold or waterproof per se.
It just won't peel, but you could still get the mold.
It will peel over time. I mean, anytime you have a situation where you have excess moisture in the room, that's really a bad thing. And over time, it will do damage to the materials, you know, in the bathroom.
What if you just open the window? Would that help?
It helps
a little
bit. It's a
Victorian house, so sometimes, you know.
It helps a little bit, but it does not replace moving that air out. So a bathroom fan actually moves that moisture out of the house, and that's really what you need to do. Opening up a window or cracking up a door might help a little bit, but it does not replace a bathroom fan. But in the meantime, before you get that fan up, go ahead and look at specialty paints. I like paints made by a company named Bin. And Zinsser. Okay, so go to their website, check out what they have. They carry their products at Ace Hardware, so you can actually go into the store and talk to somebody. And there are actually some products that'll help you with your situation until you're able to put a full blown exhaust system in.
All right, some of these tips we have to go over these myths. So we're going to take a break. We're going to do some news. Can you stick around and hit some of these myths when we come back after the news?
Sure.
He is Ryan Salzwedel, the host of Weekend Workbench Season 4 debuts this Sunday morning, 11 a.m. on WGN-TV. And Sean Bueno is with him as well, the expert handyman. We're back with Steve's News, 720 WGN. All right, Weekend Workbench starts a new season on WGN-TV this Sunday morning at 11 a.m. And in the studio with us right now, the host of it, Ryan Salzwedel, the expert handyman from that show, Sean Bueno. And we didn't talk about these home improvement myths, and I would now like to throw this over to you because, Sean, you just explained something to me that was pretty fascinating off the air. Water heaters, we usually get a water heater and don't think about it ever again.
Yeah, so now that little dial that's on most of our hot water heaters, it's going to say hotter, warmer, cooler, vacation. Okay, so you know where that dial is on your hot water heater if you have a standard hot water heater. So now as we get into the springtime, into summer, you're going to be able to turn that so it's a little cooler than it was in the winter time, okay, because your water temperatures that are coming into the house are changing, so you don't need to keep that as high as it was. You don't need to spend that money of heating that water as hot as you were in the winter time because the water is a little bit warmer coming into the house. And you'll notice around June time, you'll get into the shower, turn on the hot water, and it's a lot hotter than it was. Yeah. It's a lot hotter quicker and than it was a couple of months ago. So around May or June, you can make that adjustment. It's very simple to do and save $25 or $50 or $10, whatever it is. You're going to save some energy, save a few bucks, and actually, you know, just go through a little less energy than you would to get that hot water where it needs to be comfortable.
Especially if you have an electric water heater. I have a gas one, so in the summer, you don't really worry about your gas bill because it's non-existent.
Yeah.
But your electric bill goes up because of the AC, so if you can help a little bit by just turning that cooler.
Yes. So try that out and see, and it'll be a little more comfortable as well. So.
Yeah, we also include that in the show, too, some seasonal tips and things like that. So Sean comes in. We do some winterizing. We got segments with pipes, you know, how to protect your pipes so you don't get that burst, you know, which can end up costing you thousands of dollars in damage, you know. So little things like we incorporate those into the show as well, too, really. I know Wendy's looking at me like, you guys have everything on that show. But yeah.
You do.
We do. I mean, that's just it. We try to, you know, touch all the bases that homeowners or condo owners or any, you know, renters, even some renters, that the people that they need to see things, you know. So anything from temporary projects for renters to, hey, we're going to settle in this house for a while and we need to make it livable type of thing. So, yeah.
And that's what you do. I mean, a lot of times you settle and you have a to-do list and you're like, oh, God, what is most important? Like, we need a new roof. We definitely do because there are some leaks that are coming in. But just the other day, my 13-year-old son said, I can't wait to get my own place. And I said, well, it's a lot of work. And he said, that's why I'm going to start out with an apartment. So if something goes wrong, I can have the person who owns the apartment fix it.
Which is
smart thinking, because really, as the seasons change, there are little tiny things you can do to really prevent bigger problems later.
Yeah, and that's really great. You know, of course, the landlord or the building owner is going to be responsible for any like major repairs and whatnot. But what happens if you have an absentee landlord or owner and you've got a leaky sink, or you've got a situation in your house where, you know, it's just annoying, or you know, maybe it's something that you credit the landlord back for your rent if you do a little work in the apartment. Whatever it is, you want to understand, because he may not be in an apartment forever, and he's got to understand how the world works and how a house works, and that's, you know, what we're trying to do. And it's just like how you said when you change the wax ring on your toilet, it's just a great feeling when you do it, and now you understand it, you know.
That is key to it. And just building up that confidence. And Ryan, I know when you first started Weekend Workbench, you wanted to be handy. You had done some things. But don't you get more confident every time you accomplish something?
I mean, yeah, a lot of times now, I mean, Sean has no problem, you know, handing me a nail gun or, you know.
How long did that take, Sean?
This season.
It took 3 seasons. It took 3 seasons, yeah.
No, but I mean, there was some, I mean, I missed some shots a couple times last year. Luckily, we had this huge mock-up set, and there are a couple times I went through the drywall in the wrong place, or, you know, there's things you have to constantly be aware when you're working with power tools. Like I said, we just shot at a place called Great Lakes Yard on Tuesday with Megan Zopp. She's been with us for years too, so I guess Megan's been through us with us through the whole thing too. But we shot out there, and I have no problem now. I make a lot of the cuts on the saw now. I'm familiar with enough with them. I remember when we were shooting a little pilot.
You have your own miter box?
I do, yeah. But I remember when we were shooting the first, like, a pilot episode, a sales pitch type episode, and they had me on the miter saw. And I was like, I had never used one of those before. And there's a reaction. They're like, we want you to jump back a little bit. I didn't have to act on that. I jumped back. When that thing kicked up, I was like, oh my God, I need these fingers. I need these hands. I can't do this. But now after, now, we're almost wrapped up filming our fourth season, I have no problem getting on the saw, any type of saw, and just, you know, going to town on the wood and stuff like that, man. It's traits that you must have nowadays. You know, I just got a free education in 4 years, from some of the best people in Chicago. I know. So, if I can someday incorporate that into my own home, someday I will. I swear I'll get off the couch and I'll do it. But, you know, I mean, I can do pretty much anything now. So it's awesome. I'm blessed to be able to do it.
Sean, and here's the thing with the, sorry to cut you off.
I was just going to say, in case his,
did you just cut off Wendy?
If his cold doesn't get better, please keep me in mind if something happens to him for
absolutely
the future. That's
absolutely
all I was going to say, Sean.
So, you know, we're talking about tools and different power tools and intimidation and whatnot. But the thing is, I want you to remember is that, you know, some of these tools are a little more dangerous, you know, especially if you've never used them before. And some of them are expensive, so not everybody's going to have one in their toolbox and whatnot. But it's actually safer and quicker if you have the right tool. Like, we were using the nail gun. We've done projects with screws and nails before without the nail gun, and you saw how long it took, and you saw, you know, it was a little more dangerous maybe because your fingers are in the way of the drill and whatnot. When you get the nail gun, although it is a little expensive and it is definitely more dangerous if you don't know what you're doing, in the end, once you do know how to use it, it is safer, it is quicker, and it's the right way to do it. So
yeah, Sean taught me how to use a wet saw in season two, and this year I was doing a whole backsplash. Sean wasn't the expert on hand that day, so it's nice to be able to come into that situation then and just tell that
using a wet saw with someone else. Ryan.
Yeah, I know, right?
He's cheating on you.
I thought the wet saw was
between
us. You could
have told me off the air,
but no, I know, right? I'm able.
He knew you'd react
better.
I'm sorry, this
is the first time.
There's actual tears. There's actual tears coming down.
All right, you read about duct cleaning finally here. You know, it's advertised everywhere, and I know if you look, especially in our old house, if we pull up the vent, it's like, oh my God, is that where the little dog went we had a couple years ago?
Yeah, short story is there are a lot of scam artists out there, yes, and there are a lot of people that don't need duct cleaning. Now, there are some situations where there's a mold issue, or there's maybe a bug or pest issue where it's important to get the ductwork cleaned. Please do your research. Make sure you're hiring somebody reputable, and make sure you need it done. There are a lot of people out there that go out and just blow air through the ducts that loosen up the dirt, but they don't get rid of it, and they'll charge you a lot of money to do that. So duct cleaning should be on a regular basis. That is a myth. Most people don't need it done. nearly as much as you would think.
Can't you just vacuum out the gunk in there?
Yes and no. As far as your
dangle
vacuum
the
will
hose
reach,
down
yeah,
in there.
That'll help a little bit. But in reality,
that's code.
You know,
I actually do that sometimes because we had an air conditioner problem, and we realized we had something parked in front of the vent. Which is a no-no. We didn't know it was a bench parked in front of the vent. And then I looked at the vent that something was parked in front, and so much dust and debris was collected on there. So it made a huge difference as far as just the air conditioner and the air filtering through the house. So something simple as that you don't even think about. You know, last summer we're like, man, it is not getting cool in here. And that was the main problem right there, you know.
All right, quick break. And 312-981-7200. We have a couple of texts. We'll come back and ask these questions. Ryan Salzwedel, Sean Bueno. Weekend Workbench Season 4 kicks off this Sunday, 11 a.m. on Channel 9, WGN-TV. He is Ryan Salzwedel. See, the ball talk got me all messed up there, Ryan.
It usually does.
Weekend Workbench Season 4 debuts this Sunday, 11 a.m. WGN-TV. Sean Bueno, the expert handyman from that show, is with us right now. And just a quick question that some people have been texting and asking. When you have a project to be done, who do you call first? I mean, you know, I have talked about this loft that I have to get closed, and I've mentioned that a million times. There's a few other projects we need done, but where do you begin? Who do you call to start out with?
So there's a couple different projects. We'll group them in two different types. One is emergency projects, and one is like future plan them out projects. The emergency side, this is all in the maintenance side. You got to make sure that you develop relationships with your HVAC person, with a plumber, so that, you know, you have some regular maintenance done on your systems, and you develop that relationship so you have that phone number in your cell phone where if there's an issue right away, you call them up, they know who you are, there's going to be better service, it's going to be more fair and honest talk, but you got to get that relationship done before there's an emergency, so you're not just like scrambling on the internet looking for cold calling people trying to get somebody out to your house. Now, as far as larger scale projects, it depends on the size of the project and the cost of the project, but it's always a good idea to start either with an architect or a designer or a general contractor. Okay. So there's going to be different things that you have to know. Do I need to pull a permit for this? Am I changing walls? Are there structure issues? One project that we talked about at your place was a loft. Okay. We want to put up a wall and a loft to make two separate spaces in the house. And one thing that I brought up is we want to make sure that the HVAC person comes out to make sure you're getting that right balance of cool air and hot air so it stays comfortable in the different seasons. And that's something that the average homeowner may not think of right away.
Would the designer or the general contractor bring that up if you call
an
architect?
Case, in that case, it's not really the designer's call. It would be either an architect or your GC. And that would be the initial planning where somebody comes out and, hey, we're just going to talk about a project. I'm thinking about doing this. What's involved? What kind of budget am I looking for? So really, your point of contact on that is a general contractor or an architect, as far as that goes. Because whenever you're planning a project, you want to know timing, you want to know budget, and you want to know about any surprises so you can minimize that stuff. And if you do minimize those surprises, the projects are a lot more fun.
And if you're friendly in your neighborhood like I am and you know your neighbors, a lot of times that's a good place to start.
Well,
like, hey, you just got your
kitchen
done.
That's where, actually, funny story is that's where I met Sean for the first time. And we didn't realize it, though, was that he had done work on my neighbor's condo, like literally right across the hall. And we had met. And Sean's really good with like names and faces and things like that. So he kind of remembered it a couple years later. But yeah, totally. I mean, that's what you do. You go with recommendation. And then also, you know, a guy like Sean, who's a contractor, he always knows other people too that can help you out. So sometimes just give him a call. You know, maybe he's not always looking for the business. He's not always looking for, hey, I can do this. But he always knows a guy.
Or maybe it's not something you
want to do. Yeah, always knows a guy that can kind of help you out.
And if you're really in trouble, go to your local independent hardware store.
Yep.
Once again, we're working with Ace on this. And we're doing exactly what regular people do. So you need somebody you can trust. You're not just wandering the streets looking for help. So you kind of go into your Ace Hardware and you say, hey, this is my issue. What's going on? Where do I start? That's a good resource as well.
And most people will give you some kind of an estimate, so you're not, because an architect obviously is going to charge you for their time, but you can ask questions and find someone to get an approximation so you know if it's even worth going through
and
the
trouble.
And
that's a whole, I mean, we could talk for hours about that topic, but always talk about expectations and cost of services
up front.
Beforehand. Always up front. I mean, it sounds so obvious and simple.
It sounds so rude, though, too, when you're calling somebody to go, okay, so what is your fee? You just get that out in the open.
You get it out in the open, and then everybody's more comfortable.
Yeah, I was going to say, but everywhere else we go, we see the price on everything, you know, so
that's
you
a
know,
good point.
So it's one of those things, I guess you just got to be, you know, you just got to go for it. You
and
know?
A true professional will most likely introduce you to their pay scale or their, you know, their, what their fees are ahead of time, because nobody wants that bad feeling of getting a bill that wasn't expected, you know, beforehand and whatnot. So
I
always
know.
Good to talk about.
Cause even if you love the work, but it's more than you expected, you don't love the work then.
That's
you know
right.
What
yep.
I mean?
That's right.
Yep.
Yeah.
A pleasure to talk to you gentlemen again. I'm sorry Bill Leff has missed you, but again, it's in Saul's Weedle's contract that he cannot be in here when Bill and Wendy are here at the same time.
Bill's just got too much machismo, or, you know, he's too, he's just,
that's funny,
you know,
in
it's,
itself.
Yeah, I know. It's just too, it's just, you can't, it's just two alpha males colliding when
yes,
Bill and I are in the same room.
Absolutely.
So, you
no
know.
One but you thought that.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah.
All right. Weekend Workbench, season 4 debuts this Sunday at WGN TV at 11 a.m. Ryan Salzwedel, the host, and Sean Bueno, the expert handyman. Thank you so much for coming by. You guys are on Facebook, Pinterest, YouTube, everywhere, right?
We're everywhere. And the new show this Sunday at 11, WGN TV, it's going to be, it's probably the best show that we've put together. I mean, the whole team has been working very hard, and we're very proud of this upcoming episode and the upcoming season. A lot of surprises. Amy Howard, the paint expert. Just tons of good
stuff.
Gotta
watch
it. Tons of good stuff.
It's going to be a good time.
Go to weekendworkbenchtv.com to find out where you can find everything. Thanks, you guys.
Thank you.
Thanks.
720 WGN, back with news. Steve Bertrand next.
He knows which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry. If you love films, then Dean's your guy. So grab yourself some popcorn. He will not talk about hard boys' tea.
He might. Who knows? He's Dean Richards, and I have to tell you, we were talking home improvement a little bit and DIY stuff before, and that's kind of my specialty.
And my name came to mind?
No.
Because I'm so good with the tools?
Oh, that's right. No, your name is coming to mind right now because Bill is the one who is more into film and usually leads this little Dean Richards segment a little better than I will. So be gentle with me, Dean.
Honestly, I'm glad that dead weight's not here today.
He's probably listening, you know.
Good.
All right. Listen, I have to tell you how much I absolutely love Tina Fey, but I don't. It's probably just me. But I don't want to see Tina Fey and Amy Poehler together anymore. I want to see them separated.
She's not. Amy Poehler's not in this new one.
Good.
So you got your wish come true, and I think a lot of people probably feel that way after their last movie, Sisters, came out. Because just this morning, I got the press release saying that it's coming out on DVD. That was quick. For Tina Fey and Amy Poehler.
What happened with that movie?
It came out around Christmas time. It got lost in, you know, the Academy Award movies, I think, was part of it. It wasn't the strongest movie, but, you know, there's a new movie that's opening this weekend that's another example of a movie that won't win an Academy Award. It's not an award winner. It's not profound, but sometimes movies just are what they are. I thought that the Tina Fey, Amy Poehler movie was a funny, you know, it was funny enough. If, you know, if you want a little mindless comedy, I thought that it was fine. But, you know, the people just didn't go. Maybe people like you are just sick and tired of Amy Poehler and Tina Fey together.
Well, you know what it is? I've always been a bit of a body girl. And, you know.
No.
I know you find that shocking.
Not possible.
And, you know, Tina Fey used to be like that, being like, you know, wasn't she like the first female head writer on SNL?
Yeah.
And all these women, it's okay to be like that, but I just feel like they're pushing it over the edge now when they didn't before. Even like Amy Schumer, just being gross and graphic just to shock. Well, you can be that way without pushing so hard.
Yeah, I can see that. Maybe that's how, you know, people reacted to this movie, that they just felt like...
Because I heard it was so filthy.
It was a little dirty. It was a little dirty and a little bit naughty. It's an R-rated comedy. I mean, you know... I don't know. Maybe people just don't want their Amy Poehler and Tina Fey that way. I personally like things when things are a little more implied than right in your face.
Agreed.
You know what I mean?
You have to work harder to get there.
Yeah. I think it winds up seeming a little more clever. That said, this Deadpool movie that's out right now is R-rated. It's very dirty and vulgar and in your face, and I think that one works. So I don't know. I don't know how to, analyze these two things.
Are we bad parents? Because my 13-year-old son and husband saw Deadpool already, and my 16-year-old and I have not.
Yes, you are.
All right, then. I strive to be that. Worst parents ever. That's what we work for.
I think, how old?
13. He loved it. He's a huge Deadpool fan, and Jim took Dylan to see it, and I think they've gone twice and just loved it. And it's funny to hear my 13-year-old warn me, Mom, I really think you're going to like it, but it's very dirty, very dark.
Yeah. You know, Roy Leonard used to say that all kids are different. You can't say that it's, you know, is or is not right. You know how much your 13-year-old can handle. You're not going to take your 13-year-old if you don't think that he or she can take whatever may be happening. Although, because I can see a 13-year-old Wendy Snyder going to see this movie.
I was just going to say, you should know what I was like at 13. And I mean, you know, I grew up fast and hard.
Yeah, I'm picturing white lipstick and Lucky Strikes. I don't know. I haven't seen any pictures of you from back in the day. I'm guessing.
I'll find some for you.
Yeah, white lipstick. Lucky Strike.
You know, like, Lucky Strikes are right.
Like
but,
Tough
you know,
Girl. You know,
yeah.
Tough Girl. That's how I imagine, like Tough Girls.
Yeah, Tough Girl from Brookfield. As tough as you can be
that's
from Brookfield.
Right, from the mean streets of Brookfield, Illinois.
They were scared of me at the zoo when I worked there. all right, so what is Tina's new movie called?
It's called Whiskey Tango Foxtrot. If you take the just the initials, WTF, what do you know?
Oh, look at that.
I don't know that that has anything to do with it. I just noticed it a minute ago when I was writing it down that, oh, look, it's Whiskey Tango Foxtrot, which is, military jargon. This movie is actually based on a true story. It's based on the professional career of a Chicago Tribune reporter who, was doing light feature work, nothing dangerous, certainly, when she was writing for the Tribune, but was sent to Afghanistan because they needed people to go to Afghanistan. In the movie, Tina Fey's character is a television writer who is sent to Afghanistan with no war correspondent experience whatsoever. And it's her life adjusting to a new kind of reporting. It's her life adjusting to living in this war zone. I thought it was a very interesting inside look at what life must be like for these reporters that we see on TV every day reporting from these battle zones. You know, we see them on the air for, 60 seconds, showing film clips of the atrocities and, the things that are happening there. What goes on the rest of the time? What do they do in their leisure time?
That's fascinating to me.
That's what the majority of this movie is about, how she went about finding stories, how she went about, compiling stories, the camaraderie and competitiveness with her and the other reporters, television and print reporters in the movie. The movie is a little bit funny. There certainly are some comedic sides to it. But it's, there's a serious side to it as well. You know, she's trying to, balance her personal life and a relationship and trying to, there's a point in the movie where the insanity of the war, the violence of the war becomes kind of normal to all of these reporters. And there's a point in the movie where she kind of realizes, like, this is my new normal. You know, people getting killed and I'm not even paying attention to body parts in the street, and things like that. It's, you don't even pay attention because you're around it all the time. I found it really, really interesting. There were several points where I thought it was really, really funny. I liked Whiskey Tango Foxtrot. I gave it a Dean's List B.
Huh. I have to see that because I am totally intrigued by all that. You know, I'm in radio. I like to goof around. I couldn't handle the truth. Seriously.
That kind of reality, I don't think I could either. You know, I think it's, tremendously, I don't know if I would have the stomach for it, honestly.
And that's, I'm sure Tina Fey's character didn't at first, but then, boy, it's sad that she got used to that where it turned into commonplace.
Yeah, I thought that was a really interesting sidelight to this whole thing. I had met the reporter on which all of this is based. I believe her name was Kim Barker. I want to say, I don't have my notes in front of me. We had her on the TV morning show a couple of weeks ago. And I would have liked, if they had stayed true to the story, you know, and keep the Chicago angle. She had a lot of Chicago background and history. I personally would have liked that. I don't know if it would have made the movie better, but I like all things Chicago when I see them in the movies. I think they were trying to make it more relatable, to make her, you know, like a, what is it, Ashley Banfield, you know, those kind of reporters.
Hey, not the Scud Stud, though, Arthur Kent. Wasn't that his name?
Remember
he was
those?
The very
people
first
like
one.
That's what this movie is about. People like that, and apparently, in real, for real, the real Kim Barker told me that they all live, you know, like sort of in a dorm, like in the same building where all of the press lives, and that's where they socialize, and that's where they work and chat about what are you working on. So I found it incredibly fascinating.
I would like to see that. Somebody has suggested, you know, WTF, according to Modern Family anyway. It's like, why the face?
Not what came to my mind.
I know. We're going to take a quick break and come back. Dean has a couple other movies he would like to review for us. It's Bill and Wendy with Bill Light today, 720 WGN. We are talking with the great Dean Richards, who is over at WGN-TV right now.
What?
I was listening to you this weekend, and I'm trying to remember what you were talking about.
I was listening to you guys the other day. I was driving someplace and hearing you and Bill talking about John Oliver on HBO and Donald Trump, and laying out some real truth in a really fair in a way. I thought it was great. It was so compelling and very evenly balanced. So I tip my hat to you for not being afraid to approach a subject which I'm sure. You know, there may have been one or two comments on the old text line.
There were a lot, but Mitt Romney liked it. He was a fan.
How about Mitt Romney today?
I want to discuss this later on this afternoon with Bertrand, because how does this make the GOP look? I mean, you don't come out and, you know, eat your own, do you?
Well, he's got the salt and pepper out of it. And the meat cleaver.
And the napkin up under his chin, stuck in his shirt.
He did everything except like 20 minutes of your mama jokes. your mama is so fat that, yeah, it was brutal. It was brutal reading all the Mitt Romney stuff. But the John Oliver thing is, it's not opinion. The John Oliver stuff is factual.
It's a fact, Jack.
It's on a comedy show, but it is incredibly factual. And, you know, it's out there. You know, vote for whoever you want to vote for. I don't think anyone's telling, you know, any of us are telling you who you should vote for, whoever you want to vote for. But base your vote on facts. Don't base your vote on, you know, crazy stuff.
And it's so much easier to get facts now for the young people today. Again, I have two kids that aren't old enough to vote, but they watch some of these shows, and this is where you learn your stuff. You know, we used to watch the 10 o'clock news with our parents when we were growing up. Now there's cool news shows that you really can learn a lot.
Yeah, I was looking at Facebook today, because really that's all I do in my life.
Yeah.
I have nothing better to do really than just look at Facebook. and I'm reading things about all the candidates. You know, the opponents of different people post things as fact on the internet, when they simply are lying.
Not true.
They're lying about things. Like, feel however you want to feel, but base your opinions on factual things, not lies and innuendos and things that you absolutely are very easy to prove that are complete, absolute lies. And that goes for all the candidates. That's what this political system has devolved into, I think.
I know, and just because it's on the internet doesn't mean it's true unless it's Dean reviewing a movie.
The only thing true is what we are saying right now.
Right. What else do you have for us? Because Steve Bertrand's given me the evil eye. He wants to start at noon.
We've got plenty of time for Steve Bertrand.
You hearing Bertrand?
Look, we got rid of Bill today. If we have to do something, you know, unfortunate accident happens to Bertrand today as well, so be it. That's all I'm saying. Two other movies that are opening for this weekend. One is called London Has Fallen. I don't know if you remember, a couple of years ago, there was a movie called Olympus Has Fallen.
Yes.
Where the White House was attacked by terrorists and destroyed the White House. Aaron Eckhart played the president, and Gerard Butler is his trusty Secret Service agent. Angela Bassett is also part of the Secret Service team. This is a movie that just is what it is. This is not Spotlight. You know, this is not Room. This is not any kind of profound anything. This is pretty much 2 hours of stuff blowing up, and pretty spectacular stuff blowing up scenes,
really?
I might add. And the premise of this movie is that the British Prime Minister dies. There is a state funeral. Every important world leader goes to London for the state funeral, at which a terrorist attack takes place, and virtually every single world leader meets a horrible fate. I guess that's giving something away. That's pretty much in the trailer. I don't feel too bad about saying that. But the president of the United States, thanks to his Secret Service agent buddy, they manage to escape for a little while, and it's kind of this cat and mouse game of really spectacular special effects and blowing up kind of scenes. Now, this movie is 1,000% improbable. There could never be such an attack anywhere. And the kind of violence that takes place in the movie probably could never take place. I certainly hope not. But it's exciting. You know, for a couple of hours, you sit back, and, you just turn your mind off for a little while. This movie just is what it is. I was actually entertained by it, and I wound up giving it a C+.
Hmm. I just saw Mad Max finally at home on the 70-inch HD. Loved it.
Isn't it
I almost
awesome?
Swore. I almost just said effing loved it.
It's,
like right there, right to Dean. That would have been
FCC,
my last show.
In talking about Mad Max, the FCC would be perfectly fine with you dropping the F-bomb to describe it, because that's how good it is. This London Has Fallen is completely improbable, even a little corny at times. This is one of those movies that just is kind of mindless entertainment if you like, you know, really violent movies. There's another kids movie opening this weekend called Zootopia. I'm going to see that one tonight, so I'll have the review.
It looks cute, the trailers,
tomorrow
do.
Morning. But you know what? With kids' movies, it doesn't matter if it's good or bad. You're going to take your kids regardless.
I just take my kids to Deadpool.
Right. Right. Wendy looks for an R or X-rated movie to take her kids. NC-17? Yeah, bring them in. It's fine.
Thank you, my friend. Nice talk to you.
I'll talk to you soon.
All right. He's Dean Richards. We're going to talk to Steve Bertrand next. Find out what's all about the Wintrust Business Lunch coming up next here on 720 WGN. OMG, what an appropriate song. How bizarre, because it is just heating up in the grand old party, if you will. It's Wendy Snyder here, part two of the Bill and Wendy Show, which is Bill Light today. Bill has taken the day off. But I want to talk about this bizarre thing that's going on, with the Republican Party. Former Republican presidential nominee Mitt Romney delivered a scorching indictment of Donald Trump today. But not so long ago, back in February, I believe, of 2012, Mitt had some really great things to say about Donald Trump.
Donald Trump has shown an extraordinary ability to understand how our economy works, to create jobs for the American people. He's done it here in Nevada. He's done it across the country. He understands that our economy is facing threats from abroad. He's one of the few people who stood up and said, you know what, China has been cheating. They've taken jobs from Americans. They haven't played fair. We have to have a president who will stand up to cheaters. We believe in free trade and free enterprise, but we don't believe in allowing people to cheat day in and day out. You didn't.
And 4 years later, today of 2016, his tune changed a little bit about Donald Trump.
If we Republicans choose Donald Trump as our nominee, the prospects for a safe and prosperous future are greatly diminished. If Donald Trump's plans were ever implemented, the country would sink into prolonged recession. A few examples. His proposed 35% tariff-like penalties would instigate a trade war, and that would raise prices for consumers, kill our export jobs, and lead entrepreneurs and businesses of all stripes to flee America. His tax plan, in combination with his refusal to reform entitlements and to honestly address spending, would balloon the deficit and the national debt. So even though Donald Trump has offered very few specific economic plans, what little he has said is enough to know that he would be very bad for American workers and for American families. But you say, wait, wait, wait. Isn't he a huge business success? Doesn't he know what he's talking about? No, he isn't. And no, he doesn't. His bankruptcies have crushed small businesses and the men and women who work for them. He inherited his business. He didn't create it. And whatever happened to Trump Airlines? How about Trump University? And then there's Trump Magazine and Trump Vodka and Trump Steaks and Trump Mortgage.
And I believe Trump is talking right now.
Wendy, his rally in Maine just started, if we want to dip into that, because I'm sure he's going to have a few things to say about Mitt Romney.
Heating up. It's heating up.
Get him out. What are they doing, right? What's the purpose? What are they doing? Well, it gets a little television time, I guess. But, you know, I was going to the debate, and I was going directly in from Florida. I'm down in Florida. We're campaigning. We're doing really well in Florida. We're campaigning against a guy that has the worst voting record in the history of the state of Florida, named Rubio. I call him lightweight. He's a lightweight. But got the worst record in the history of Florida, so I don't know. I should do well there. Let's hope I do well there. I love Florida. But I was going to Detroit. And I said to my people, I have to stop in Maine. I felt so, I just had to stop in Maine. So I wouldn't say that it's a very direct route, would you say? Instead of going this way, I went this way, and that is good. I'm so glad. And, you know, to put this incredible sold-out crowd, and you have thousands of people outside, to put this crowd together in a period of, what, 24 hours? Is pretty amazing. And Maine is amazing. You know, Maine is one of the most beautiful places on earth. And people don't realize how large your land mass is. I was talking to Paul. As large as all of New
He's
England.
He's getting heckled at his own place.
He also threw some people out at the beginning.
Can I buy some? All right, well, this is boring. We will keep you posted
on
what he says.
Yeah, we'll hang on to it a little while. I'm sure he'll get to Mitt Romney as soon as he possibly can.
But I guess we missed, and he started, you know, what's this? What is all this about? I guess he wants some TV time.
He was throwing some people out, I guess, who were some protesters or people that were, you know,
that's what
he was doing, yes.
What in good golly, great gosh almighty world is going on here? How does Mitt Romney turn around in 4 years and completely change his tone and his ideas about Donald Trump? And what in the world does this mean for the GOP? Isn't this like the craziest thing you've ever heard of, Kim?
It's nuts. And they're just, you know, they're just breaking up the party more and just giving him, you know, an entrance right in. They're feeding into his hands, in my opinion.
I brought this up to Steve Cochran off the air this morning, and he dismissed what I had to say. Is this intentional? Wasn't Donald Trump a Democrat a while ago? Is he getting in here to completely implode or explode the Republican Party intentionally? And Cochran said, he's not that bright. I'm like, he uses big words. He has big words. He has small hands, but big words. I think he's dumb like a fox.
I think you're right. And I think also, you know, Romney's playing into his hands, using the words that Donald Trump uses, a fake, a phony, same kind of thing.
I just don't understand why Mitt Romney is doing this and admitting, boy, the guy we got going to head our party right now is not the guy we want. Look at how much weakness that shows.
Yeah, and it just shows you that there's no backing from the standard GOP party.
Yep.
So, you know, and then Trump also, I saw some tweets today where he's still threatening to run as an independent. So even if the Republicans get rid of him, I don't think he's going away.
And then who do the Republicans bring in?
Well, I guess
Paul Ryan was brought up, but you can't do that.
Right, well, how can you do that when you have two other people who are seriously running a presidential campaign? You know, you've got Ted Cruz, you've got Marco Rubio. You know, why are they not their guys?
Boy, people wanted a shakeup, and they certainly got it, because I don't know what is happening to this country. It is just so fun. I have never, anytime I heard politics, that word, I would put my earmuffs on and just go la 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 la. This is so exciting now because this is complete.
Well,
this
it's
is,
become a reality show. It's become,
you're right,
a Donald Trump reality show. It's not a presidential campaign.
We are going to stay on this, and why don't you monitor the Teflon Don and see what he has to say about Mitt Romney, because, and we'll go over the stuff that Mitt said about Donald Trump, because it's nasty. It's about to get real, and it's happening right here, 720 WGN. All right, the gloves are off, and Mitt Romney back in 2012 really thought Trump was a decent guy, a good guy, and today he's taking a whole different approach to this. Former Republican presidential nominee has really pulled off the gloves and has said some really interesting things about the Donald, and we're getting a lot of texts here that say, you know, why don't you talk about Hillary Clinton? Why are you one-sided? I think it's pretty interesting when your own party turns against your front runner of the nominee, the Republican nominee. What do you think about this, Steve?
I can't wait to go home and watch the debate tonight.
Well, we're going to talk
to
Ryan Burrow.
How weird is that?
Yeah, he's in Detroit now.
One.
I know. And honestly, Steve, I am not a political pundit. I don't like to talk about politics too much, but it's the year of an election, and it's just getting crazy and becoming more exciting to talk about.
I want to say one thing, though. People are making a big deal of the fact that Romney said nice things about Donald Trump, you know, and he asked for his endorsement 4 years ago. It's one thing to ask for an endorsement and to praise a guy who's endorsing you. That doesn't mean you think they're qualified to be president. So just
But it's still such a complete turnaround.
Well, look, I mean, if I were running and you endorsed me, I would say, thank you, you're wonderful, I love you. But if 4 years later you were running and I thought you were bad for the party, you know, I may well say that. So all I'm saying is that I think that's being, not just by you, but by a lot of people, a little oversimplified.
Probably. Because it just seems weird to me that your own party would, like, criticize the guy.
Wow. It's just amazing to watch.
Unheard of. Has this happened before? And plus, I wouldn't endorse anything or anybody that I didn't really believe in.
In a way, it happened, I think, in, was it 64 when...
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Barry
I was a
Goldwater
year old.
Ran. And Ronald
You're
Reagan,
right.
Ronald Reagan actually gave a speech, said it's time to choose. And I think it was about Goldwater. I don't remember exactly. In fact, Romney referenced that today. He said, look, I'm no Ronald Reagan, but we've got a choice to make here. I think they've made the choice. That's the thing.
Yeah, but then don't you go with your choice then?
Well, I mean...
This is just really weird to me, and someone's criticizing me for saying that this is fun because it's not fun. It's effing scary. and it kind of is, but... All right. First of all, just when Donald Trump said he was running for president, we all said, ah-ha-ha, that's good. That's a good one, Donald. And now it's coming to fruition. That scares me. And now this whole inner party fight is scaring me as well.
Well, that's just fun to watch. I mean, that's just interesting to watch because it just doesn't happen very often. But, you know, as far as the Republicans have their own brand that they're trying to protect, you know, and Donald Trump, in a way, is running away with their brand. So you've got this establishment or the longtime Republicans who, you know, when they go to the cocktail party on K Street and they say, I'm a Republican, you're like, oh, really? Do you favor, you know, killing the family of terrorists?
I know that.
And that's a war crime. You know, you've got a guy campaigning saying that we should commit war crimes. So it's just an upside down sort of thing.
But here's my question.
And the other thing, though, Wendy, is he's saying those things, and we're endorsing it. We're electing him. So, you know, that's a huge part of it. Those things are resonating with the voters, and, you know, we're voting for him.
But I know you didn't know how loose of a cannon he was going to be when he originally jumped on this platform, but I almost feel like why did they let him be a Republican nominee?
It's hard to unlit, you know, he's running. He wanted to run. He qualified to get on the ballots, and that's how you do it. He follows all the rules. I don't think you would want...
At this time, he follows all the rules.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you know, and this idea that, you know, the media gave him a pass early on, I think is just revisionism because, you know, when he was going on and ripping, you know, saying John McCain was a hero because he got caught, when he was saying things about Megyn Kelly, when he was, you know, all the different things. Everyone knows that they're out there. Those are the things that were reported and would sink any other candidate any other year. So, you know, I think the people who are supporting him, and it's a majority of Republican primary voters, have seen all those things and they've weighed them and they still want to vote for him.
It's a weird time.
They get to choose.
A weird time. John, isn't it a weird time we're living in right now in America?
Well, it is a weird time. It is strange, but it's not unprecedented. Back in the early 50s, a man by the name of Joseph McCarthy rose to power. He was a senator from Wisconsin. He was a dyed-in-the-wool anti-communist, and he was endorsed the blacklisting that went on. And what happened was that the people in the Republican Party, including President Eisenhower, didn't want to criticize McCarthy because he had a lot of people buffaloed in this country. Well, eventually, it got very vicious. He was a super vicious man. That's why I compare Trump with Joe McCarthy, arrogant and vicious. But the thing is that Joe McCarthy claimed that there were high-ranking people in the government that were communists, that the Secretary of the Army, Stevens, was a communist, and eventually he had to go to the Congress that had an Army McCarthy hearings, and they exposed him for what he was. He was a fraud. He had no.
So, what do you think is going to happen with Donald Trump?
Well, Donald Trump, he fires back with a lot of the same vicious tactics that McCarthy used. For one thing, he says our country is not great, really. Our country is still a great country. Who's he trying to kid? Sure, we got problems.
We've got a lot of problems, but boy, it's still better to be an American than anything else, isn't it?
Absolutely. You know, and back in the 50s, like I said, not unprecedented. This guy will be. Could you imagine this guy having the codes to nuclear weapons? He's an oddball.
To say the least.
I'll tell you, a strange duck. So it'll all work itself out in the end.
Oh, I don't know if that's true, John, but thank you for being so optimistic.
I am. The glass is well over half full.
Yeah, and you've been drinking the other half.
I'm going to drink the whole glass.
No, I don't drink. See later.
Well, you're going to start. Thank you, John. I appreciate it, and thanks for that information. I know, politics, this is crazy, and nobody wants to talk about it, but in essence, everybody's talking about this because for the person who doesn't follow politics on a regular, everyday basis, this seems just completely bizarre to me, of Mitt Romney really just busting him a new one. Ryan Burrow will be checking in. He's in Detroit. Tonight is another Republican debate. Is that correct? Tonight is the night?
Yes, in Michigan. And it's different in that there are only four candidates who are going to be there: Kasich, Trump, Cruz, and Rubio. And all of this, think of, you know, this is one of the reasons, the timing for this, that Mitt Romney gave his speech today. He sort of sets the table for this debate tonight, and we'll see if they...
Well, now I got to watch it.
Absolutely.
There's an early Hawks game. I got stuff. My kid has he's in some play tonight. I got to watch Trump. I got to see what he says about this. This is crazy. Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, we're going to check in with Ryan Burrow, who's in Detroit. And it is the Bill and Wendy Show. We're a little Bill light today, 720 WGN. All right, Steve. People are texting and letting us know that Trump has made a comeback to Mitt Romney's statements.
Yeah, he's saying that Romney was afraid to run against him. You know, and that's why Romney didn't run this time. And, you know, he's talked about it quite a bit through the day.
And a big debate tonight in Detroit, and our own Ryan Burrow is out there right now. Ryan, how is the weather out there? Let's start that way.
The snow is falling, a little different than Miami, that's for sure. Tell you that right now.
We will not hang up on you then.
Going on downtown. Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. So a lot has changed since you arrived in Detroit. First, of course, Mitt Romney making some comments about Donald Trump, and now Donald Trump reacting to those comments. It's going to be fun tonight, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. He's speaking right now. You might be able to hear a little in the background. Yeah. I'm in the filing center right now getting set for this evening's coverage. But, yeah, it'll definitely be a topic. You know, it's interesting. This happened a couple of weeks ago, just before the debate in Greenville, South Carolina. That was when Justice Antonin Scalia died. And you had a feeling that all the campaigns all of a sudden had to kind of rewrite all of their strategy going into the debate. So we'll see what, if anything, is changed as a result of this news and this kind of verbal spat between the two going into tonight. But, you know, a lot of other issues probably on board, and most of them surrounding Donald Trump, the first of which is his declaration that Muslim travel should be banned in the United States. Muslims coming to the United States. You got to understand, Dearborn's not too far away from here. And that's the number one or the biggest population of Muslims in the United States. So that'll probably come up. Of course, Megyn Kelly will be one of the people who's moderating. He had a verbal spat with her on air and then, of course, hit the Twitter with that as well. So that could come up. And we'll see if some of these other guys, maybe John Kasich, tries to make his voice heard a little bit. He's been kind of floundering of late as far as getting news headlines and right now is pulling in at number four.
All right, so there's going to be a lot of indoor fireworks going on tonight in many, many forums.
I would think so. And, you know, what's interesting is, you know, the fact that Dr. Ben Carson announced he was not going to participate in this debate and may indeed wind down his campaign tomorrow. You know, essentially what they do is they just take a podium away. Now there are four, you know. It's kind of like musical chairs a little bit the way it operates. But, you know, he leaves and that gives more opportunities for talking and perhaps more opportunities for sniping between these candidates.
And you mentioned you liken it to musical chairs. I just hope the music never ends because then we don't have to worry.
This has become entertainment, right? I mean, we can go back and we can think now to these Republican debates, whether it was the one in South Carolina where, you know, Donald Trump called Ted Cruz a liar, the biggest liar, where he said that the Bush family, you know, didn't keep America secure during 9/11. Remember the debate with Chris Christie and Marco Rubio, where Rubio kept repeating himself? I mean, each one of these debates has had some kind of event that seems to have changed the course of these campaigns. We'll see what comes out of today with only four candidates now on stage.
We're getting a lot of mixed emotions in the texting department at 312-981-7200. You know, somebody saying Mitt Romney. Is this Trump talking right now?
Yeah, do you hear him in the background?
Yeah. I mean, honest to God, I'm like Pavlov's dogs. I could tell that was his voice.
Yeah, I'm not physically in the room with him. He's in Portland, Maine right now, but they've obviously got the sound on the TV pumped
well,
up.
And
good.
His voice carries.
Oh, my God, I know. I mean, I just knew immediately. But mixed emotions here on the text line. Mitt Romney is, what, a 2- or 3-time loser? Who gives a crap what Romney says? And then other people are saying, you know, Mitt's doing a great service. I can't help myself. He starts talking. I have to stop. Wait, I got to listen. Other people are saying Mitt's doing a great service by updating what is problematic with this.
Well, you know, I mean, this is the battle that's going on right now, right? It's the establishment versus Donald Trump, and the establishment wants him to go away. Mitt Romney is part of that. John McCain firing off a statement today as well, saying he's concerned about a Donald Trump presidency. You know, it's interesting, though. If you think about it, the way that these establishment Republicans are getting their message out is the traditional way of doing it, right? A speech in front of a group of people, John McCain releasing a statement. Donald Trump just fires off tweets.
Or Instagrams.
Or Instagrams. I mean, he doesn't care. And his responses are instant. They're quick. They're must reads. I mean, come on. You got to admit, Steve Bertrand, you probably glanced over at his Twitter feed a couple times.
Absolutely.
Today just to see what he's saying. And you know, it's instantaneous. It's reactionary. And it gets people talking.
And you know what's fascinating, too, Ryan and Wendy, is that Trump was on MSNBC this morning being pressed about who would be on his foreign policy team. And he said, well, I'll name it in good time. And they said, okay, well, who do you follow on foreign policy, who would be advising you? And he could only come up with two names. One was essentially a TV guy, and the other was John McCain. He said, well, I follow John McCain. I got a lot of respect for him. And here you've got McCain this afternoon issuing a statement saying, be careful what you vote for.
Look, it's a party divided right now, and the establishment is looking at maybe a last-ditch effort coming off of Super Tuesday. You've got big states coming up, obviously Michigan next week. We've got Illinois. We've got Florida, Ohio. And if they're unable to pull on the brakes here and maybe get a Rubio or a Cruz or a Kasich back into the front, there's some trouble ahead for the establishment. The party is fractured right now, and it'll be interesting to see kind of how this moves forward. People have been talking about, a convention that's maybe, split up, and we'll see what happens. It usually doesn't work out well for the party where that happens in the general election, but I think the Republican Party is trying to figure itself out right now.
We've got Ryan Burrow reporting live in Detroit right now, and there's a text that came over, and I don't know if I should take it as a joke or serious because it makes sense both ways. It says, if Trump was elected, impeachment process would start the next day. It gets you thinking.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because I read an article talking about how, obviously the Republican voter turnout over these first few states has just been enormous. I mean, record setting in many of the states for primaries. Well, the Democratic just doesn't seem to quite be there. And that's the Trump factor, right? I mean, it's either people running out because they're very excited to vote for Trump, or they're running out because they don't want Donald Trump to get the nomination. I think the general election will be a little bit different of a beast because, you'll have a head-to-head matchup. There will be, more national issues instead of in-party issues. And I still say that between now and Election Day, there's going to be something that pops up, one, maybe two things that are going to kind of alter the direction of these campaigns. So whether it be, I don't want to expect an attack or an economy thing or anything like that, but there will be something. There always is. And, so we'll just have to kind of see how this plays out. I want everyone to kind of take a deep breath because, this is kind of the fun of it, right? This is the season. It's like if you're watching a baseball game, you don't want to just skip forward to the ninth inning, right? You want to see it all play out. So
no, our blood pressure is rising too swiftly for that. And really, we are getting slammed so much.
Must be watching the wrong game. No, I'm kidding.
People are texting, WGN radio equals liberal radio. No, listen, if you want to vote for Trump, if there's a listener out there that for sure. Please call us and tell us exactly why you are voting for him. 312-981-7200. I just feel with all this stuff coming out, your opinion, even if you were for Donald Trump in the first place, has got to be swayed a bit. Wouldn't you think, Ryan?
I think that these Mitt Romney comments are just going to stiffen everyone where they were. If you're an establishment Republican, you probably were nodding your head and saying absolutely to everything Mitt Romney said. Meanwhile, if you are a Donald Trump follower and you're hearing this, I mean, it's like chalk. It's like fingernails on the chalkboard, right? I mean, this is the establishment telling a candidate who is running very anti-establishment, the outsider, what to do, and this is exactly what he's running against. So, I think it's just going to kind of stiffen everybody into where they are right now, and we'll see because we're getting to a point where if desperation does set in, there are going to be some bridges that are burned that can't be repaired in time for the November election. I mean, the way that Marco Rubio is talking, the way that Mitt Romney's talking, the way that John McCain is talking, I don't see them standing on a stage with Donald Trump come September or October. I don't know if you guys do, if they're able to patch it up in time, but, things are starting to splinter a little bit in that party.
And 630 kind of agreeing with what you said, Ryan. We're voting for Trump because it ticks off the establishment. Is that
exactly.
But is that what we want? Is that how we should place our very important vote?
We won't know until November what we want, right? Until those election results come in. I mean, everyone wants their own thing. It's happening on the Democratic side too. The establishment Democrats seem to be falling to Hillary Clinton, whereas the more liberal, progressive Democrats are going Bernie Sanders' way. They're going to hash it out Sunday, and we'll see kind of what the differences are there in Flint, Michigan. But you know, it's the march. It's the conversation. This is the political conversation right now. And right now it's establishment versus the outsider. And the Republicans are trying to figure that out right now.
Face off and fighting. Don't know if I'm talking about the Blackhawks game tonight or the debate in Detroit.
Hey, that was pretty cool that the Blackhawks were here last night. Right as I arrived, when I was in Miami, the Bulls were there. And when I was in Detroit, the Blackhawks were here. They're following me everywhere, I tell you.
They're stalking you. Thank you so much, Ryan. We really appreciate it. Take care of yourself over there. Watch your back.
All right. You will do. Take care, guys.
Watch your back.
I just, you know, we're going to talk to people who want to speak their mind. Because I just don't understand. I agree, and I know people are just disgusted with how the government has been run in many years. If I see one more swear word followed by AMA, that gets texted into us. But if you're into Donald Trump, I mean, come on, just tell me why. I mean, we're here to have a conversation. It's not right or wrong. It's opinions, and they matter, and everyone has one. I'm sick of seeing Wendy equals sore loser. I haven't lost anything yet. I just don't want to lose our country. 312-981-7200. Let's talk about it. 720 WGN. Uh-oh. We'll see what happens tonight in Detroit. We have another Republican debate coming our way. And we have got Don on the line. I put the question out there, Don. Why do you like Donald Trump? Why will you vote for Donald Trump? Are you planning on voting for Donald Trump?
I'm planning on voting for Donald Trump in the primary. In the general election, we'll see. But the reason is I feel like I'm a typical middle class guy, and I'm angry at all the, you know,
the crap.
Right. And, you know, I just feel that something's got to change and people have to be heard. And when I hear Mitt Romney and Pat Brady on with Cochran this morning and people talking, you know, they're not going to vote for Republican if it's Donald Trump. And I just think that goes against everything. I mean, if the people say they want Donald Trump and the Republican leaders don't want to support Donald Trump, they're going against what the common person wants. And that's what, I mean, maybe that's why everything's so screwed up. They don't listen to people.
I'm interested that you might support a Democrat, though, over him eventually. Would that be Sanders?
I don't know, Steve.
It's unusual to find, I think, a Trump supporter who might switch to one of the two choices for the Democrats in November.
Well,
God, these are our choices. How did we get in this boat? These are our choices, Don. This is really, wow.
I mean, I can't say that I would definitely vote for Trump, but if, you know, some of the outlandish things he says, I don't agree with, but a message needs to be sent in this country. I mean, look at the state of Illinois, the mess we're in, and something needs to be done to shake up the political spectrum the way it is. I mean, it's got to change, and maybe this is a starting point to get it to change. And I agree that he's not the ideal candidate, but maybe it's our way of saying enough's enough.
And I respect the office, and, you know, people are like, what are you going to do if he wins? If he wins, he's the president of the United States, and I will deal with it. I'm not moving to Canada like everyone else or to Mexico. Which is how he's going to get Mexico to pay for the walls, because all of America is going to move over there and they're going to have to keep us out. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But I agree with you.
Smart enough to surround himself with, I mean, it's still, the Congress still controls things. He's smart enough to surround himself with intelligent people. And I mean,
I'm not doubting his intelligence. I think he is smarter than people realize, but, he's just rubbing me the wrong way as a representative of our country.
Well, look at him. We have a lie. I mean, everybody has their opinion, but Hillary's a liar, in my opinion. I don't know. She doesn't represent what I would want either. I don't
but
know.
And Trump isn't a liar? See, I don't know who I'm going to vote for. I am just really at my wit's end, and I don't even want to talk about politics. I hate politics, but we have to talk about it.
I'm with you.
All right, Don. Well, hang in there and do your best. And it was interesting to talk that in the primary, you will be voting for Trump, not necessarily in the election if he wins the nomination. John, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, hi. I agree with Don. It's just amazing. It occurred to me the reason Trump is so popular is that for as long as I can remember, the Republican establishment and Washington people have been selecting candidates to run for president that are irritating, whether it's their personality or their politics or their ideas. They just rub the middle-class guy the wrong way. But the middle-class people and the average Republican doesn't have an opportunity to voice anything. Trump all of a sudden comes along, and all of a sudden he's gained momentum because all the Republicans are, like, dissatisfied for years with what they've been dealt with. So anyway.
Yeah, but you know what, John, if I may, you know, the part of Mitt Romney's problem was we couldn't identify with him being middle-class because it's like he was just this rich guy. Why are people thinking about another rich guy differently? That's my question.
No, I'm thinking there's just nobody else that kind of satisfies the anger and displeasure that most people have with the Republican candidates. And the Republicans don't realize how disliked they are. They keep producing candidates that are, like, really foolish and make, you know, are irritating. And so Trump is only winning because he's like fighting
it's something
back.
Different, and it's something different too, and it's yeah. up the establishment,
right? And if somebody, if an anti-establishment guy that was, I mean, Republicans have to come up with somebody that is acceptable to the majority of the people,
yep.
not just the rich. And until they do that, Trump will be popular. But if the Republicans come up with somebody that's appealing, really appealing, like Kennedy or Reagan, then Trump would be gone. There'd be nobody. You know, he just wouldn't have his prayer.
We're all in trouble, John. Keep your fingers crossed and start praying now.
I think it'll happen.
Have a good one. All right. It is WGN Radio. It's Wendy Snyder here. Bill Leff is off today, and we are going to take a break and find out more about this exciting world in which we live. It's America, darn it. 720 WGN. It's 720 WGN, as Steve just mentioned, and it's Wendy Snyder here. Bill Leff is off. I'm a little embarrassed. Bill would totally be embarrassed if he was here today because we don't dress up a lot when we come to work. We're in radio, but in the studio with us right now is Adam Glassman, the creative director of O Magazine, the Oprah magazine since 2000. And Deborah Kavanaugh, the senior vice president of Talbots. And you guys have such fashion flair, and I'm not dressed up, and Bill is less so when he's here. So maybe it's good he's not here today. How are you guys?
We're good.
I'm doing great.
Good. Thank you. We could help you with a little fashion flair if you want.
Well, that's kind of what we're talking about, yeah. An event that's going on this evening, right?
Tonight at the Old Orchard store, the Talbot store at Old Orchard. I will be there. We'll all be there. We're there because we're very excited. We did a collaboration with Talbot. It's the first time that Oprah magazine ever has done this in our life, and we created 7 pieces, the Oprah collection, that 30% of the net proceeds are going to Dress for Success, this incredible organization that I know, Wendy, you know very well, and Talbot's brought to us because they have been associated with them for the last year.
Yeah, and these aren't any pieces. These 7 items are the most essential things that any woman would want to have in her wardrobe. They're emotional, they're beautiful, they're versatile.
They're mix and matchable, right?
Very much so. In fact, we were looking at them on some Dress for Success clients this morning during a television mm-hmm. segment, and it's inspiring to see how women can take these items and make them their own and really feel like they're on trend for spring, and that's what makes the event so great.
How many items are black? Because I wear black all the
zero,
time.
Zero. But we're going to ease you into a floral print. How
no,
about
you're
that?
Not.
No, maybe we won't.
No, you're
but
not.
There's plenty of people that we will.
That's right.
Because this is the time of year you start cleaning your closet. You're tired of wearing fall clothes and winter clothes, although here in Chicago you still need it
well,
right now.
Well, we're not
now.
There yet. But can I just say really, though, about the black? It's funny because every woman, that's your go-to color. It is. Mm-hmm. You can wear it with jeans and it looks great. You can. They're mixing blue and black now. Blue or black and brown, everything works with black. But there is that one day that you buy like this hot pink blouse and you put it on and you realize, oh my God, wow, I can come alive. It really does change
and
up.
And how many people say to you, I like your blouse? And they go, you look amazing. And that's what happens with color. And that's what happens with print. Because, but a lot of people who wear black and blue, they want to. I don't know what you want to say. You just want to sort of disappear sometimes. And I get that because it's also an easy thing to wear.
I don't
black.
Ever like to disappear. I like to get right up in your face. I just, the black
we're,
is slimming.
We're going
to
send you. Well, it is slimming too. You're
well,
right.
And there's some great pieces within the Talbot's bigger collection that are in black that you can pair back to these beautiful prints because there's black grounding in them.
Yeah. But you know,
so
we when we.
Happy florals.
What happy,
happy
florals.
Happy florals.
No, well, when we started thinking about this collection, you know, we always sort of work with Oprah's mantra where clothes are meant to make you feel alive and beautiful and happy and pretty and colorful. Mm-hmm. And whenever we feature color in the magazine, whether it's on models or celebrities or Oprah herself, that's what people resonate and they flock to the stores because they want it. They may end up also buying a pair of black pants to wear with it, but
right.
we really wanted like colorful, pretty, you know, clothes that just make you feel noticed.
You know, I will, and I'm sure everyone can relate to this, when you go back to when you were in elementary school, and that first day of school, you got to wear a new outfit that you were ready to go, oh my God, this is it. You'd lay it out in the shape of a human, you know, on the floor of your bed and be ready to roll. And you tackled the day with confidence because it was something you loved. Is that how it feels when you purchased the right outfit?
That is how it feels when you buy the right outfit. And also, it's how it feels when people see you in that outfit. Because, like, I always recommend to people who say, I like color, but I'm afraid of color. You need to ease into it. So start small. Maybe it's a pair of shoes. Maybe it's a handbag, a scarf, or a statement necklace that you're going to wear with neutrals. But the moment you start wearing that and people say, you look great, your confidence, you are built up. And then you go, oh, maybe I can wear this. So then the next time, you might try a blouse, a hot pink blouse. Or you might try a dress. So, but there's always a time and a place for color, and there's always a time and place for neutrals.
Yeah. There's always a time and a place for stretch. And that's the lining of this amazing pencil skirt.
Yes, well, Deb, you're right, and thank you for bringing that up, actually.
God, you guys sound just like me and Bill when we talk. Oh, Bill, you got to try this. We honestly are one of the sloppiest dressers here because it's radio. You don't have to dress up for radio, and now there's cameras in the studio, which I did not sign up for 30 years ago.
Right.
That's why I did radio and not TV.
And you're open up to the public. So you have to put on a little makeup and comb your hair once in a while.
Once in a while. Adam Glassman, creative director of O, the Oprah magazine. I can just say O. Everybody knows what that magazine is. Deborah Kavanaugh, senior vice president over at Talbot's. Tonight, there is a launch party of a new line, 6 to 8 p.m. at the Old Orchard Talbot's. It's open to the public. We're going to take a quick break, and then I would like some advice, and so would the listeners, about how to clean out your closet, because I'm telling you, I have so many clothes in there that I haven't worn, but there are some that you can't get rid of because either you paid too much money for them or someone gave it to you, and there's an emotional connection to it. Mm-hmm. If there's a rule of thumb on what to purge and maybe what to donate to Dress for Success, can you help us when we come back?
Absolutely.
720 WGN. All right, Wendy Snyder here. Bill Leff has taken the day off, and thankfully, because we kind of joke that we dress down at work a lot, but you can still be casual and still be stylish. And in the studio with us right now, Adam Glassman, creative director of O Magazine, and Deborah Kavanaugh, senior vice president of Talbot's. You guys have pooled forces and have come together for an event that you're having at Old Orchard Talbot's tonight from 6 to 8. What is the exact name of this little event this evening? Give confidence,
this is
hope
our
and style.
Whole campaign is to give confidence, give hope, and give style, and really in support of the women of Dress for Success, in helping them really not only look and feel their best, but achieve their real potential in work and life. So through the donations, through our partnership, we're able to invite our customers to come in, bring in nearly new wear-to-work clothes today through Sunday, come in and shop the O Collection, and when you do, 30% of the net proceeds from every single item are going to Dress for Success. And while you're there shopping our big style event, you can enjoy 25% off everything else. And if you want, make a monetary donation to Dress for Success.
And you get me. I go in the dressing room with you and help you make wise decisions.
Are you nice to people?
I am. Okay. I'm super nice to people. But I'm brutally honest.
I think you
need to be.
I had a friend who went to get a personal shopper at one of the stores, not yours, and I'm not mentioning it. And this person went on to pick things that really didn't have anything to do with that person. You need to talk to them and get to know them a little bit before you suggest some styles.
Absolutely. You need to sort of know their lifestyle. You need to know what they're really comfortable in. I am not one to sell something if I don't think that, A, it looks good and flatters the person. Because a lot of salespeople, all they want to do is make commission. And I'm not a salesperson. I'm, you know, a style person. So
yeah.
I really want women to look beautiful. And
we
look
all
their
have
best
that
selves.
Friend who is not honest. You say, hey, how does this look? Oh, you look adorable. And then you come home and the real friend, which I'm the real friend, says, that does not look very flattering on you. But you want someone to be honest.
This is what I say all the time. When you're cleaning your closet, you don't want to do it with your husband, who, of course, is going to tell you that your butt does not look fat in those jeans. You want to do it with an honest friend. You know,
that
we all have.
It's a trick question for him, though, too, because I always say, Jim,
question.
Just be
yeah.
honest. You know what he says to me, though? Instead of that makes your butt look big, he'll go, I've seen other outfits that look better on you. Isn't
okay.
that a nice
He's
way
a
of saying it?
That's a good way, yes.
Yeah.
But no, you want an honest friend. You want a camera. You want
no,
a three-way
you don't.
Mirror. No, you do. You want this stuff. When you are cleaning out your closet and you're deciding what to, when you're shopping or cleaning out your closet, you need that. Because
all right, what do you get rid of? How do you determine? Is there a want, a need? What if it's an emotional thing? What if you bought this jacket and you spent a ton of money and only wore it once, but then when you put it on at the second time, it looks stupid and you don't know why you even bought it? What do you
get
do?
Get rid of it. You get rid of it. Again, I'm telling you, I'm very blunt. I'm a sort of person that thinks if I haven't worn it in two seasons, although I've make it a little broader now for the general public. I will say 2 years. If it's been hanging in your closet for 2 years, get rid of it. I know a lot of people are like, oh, but I'm going to lose weight and I'll get back into that, because a lot of women think they're going to get back
into it. Then you buy another one.
Then you buy another one. But I think you have to, A, shop for the size you are, not the size you once were or think you're going to be. And you just have to say, you know what? I wore it. I got my wares out of it. If I fail, like I spent too much money on it, I didn't get my wares of it, let me pay it forward. Let me give it away. Or in some cases, you could give it to a resale shop and make some money back.
That's right.
I mean, there's plenty of ways to sort of get rid of clothes. But just to collect clothes, you want your energy to be – you want to move energy in your house. And you don't want just stuff for the sake of having stuff. You really want to wear everything.
I know, because I'm thinking about you saying this, and if every woman right now, and some men, if they'd look in their closet, they have hundreds of things hanging up. When push comes to shove, how many items do you need to have a really great wardrobe? Not hundreds.
Not that many. I mean, truthfully, you need a good white shirt, a good skirt, a black dress, a good fitting pair of pants, a great jacket. You need a kind of good backbone of a wardrobe, and then you go in and you add some color, you add some texture for novelty, fun, and that kind of stuff. But that's all you need.
And this collection that you're going to be debuting tonight at Talbot's and Old Orchard, how many pieces in this collection?
7 pieces. And the great aspect,
5 pieces of clothing, actually,
yes,
and two accessories. Yeah.
So a gorgeous white shirt, Swiss dot, tuxedo styling. You can dress it up, you can dress it down, an easy pair of fluid pants that are right on trend for the season, a pencil skirt, an incredible dress with pockets, Every
no,
woman's
really?
Secret weapon, you have to have this dress.
Well, and also all the fabric has stretch in it, so yeah. It fits really well. It wears really well. You don't have to, like, you know, like some clothes you have to dry clean every time you wear it. You don't have to do this. I mean, we really thought about all the details. The lining of the skirt has stretch in it, so you don't have to wear Spanx with that skirt. Like, we really, you know, as Oprah has always taught me, God is in the details. We put all of the details in every bit of this clothing.
How is Oprah?
She's good.
I love Oprah.
I know.
Who doesn't?
Who doesn't?
Exactly.
Do you miss her here in Chicago?
I totally miss her here in Chicago.
She misses being here, too.
Can I send you some bread to give her? She likes her bread.
Only if it has lots of nuts and lots of grain, and she could only have one piece a day.
Hey, Weight Watchers, it's all about, figuring out. You have to plan in advance, and yes, you can drink, you can eat anything you want, but you have to plan ahead, and that's sometimes right. What we forget to do. You should also plan ahead in what to wear for the week, right? Can't you
exactly.
Get that ready to roll?
Absolutely. But, you know, before you even think about what you're going to wear the week, you want to plan ahead what you want to buy. You have to assess your closet. You have to look and see where the holes are. What do you have enough of, and where do you want to sort of go, oh, I could use another navy trouser. I could use a fun skirt or a fun dress. But you really want to make a list, because how many times have you gone out shopping and go, this is cute, and you come back and you're like, what does it go with? Where am I going in this? What do I have to wear with it? And that's why we collect a lot of stuff in our closets that go unworn, because we haven't really thought it out. So you want to think about it. Then you go home and you plan your outfits.
No one thinks. They do impulse buys. They see something like, I'm a camo nut. I just bought camo purse on Etsy, and I love it, and I have camo pants. And my producer, Kevin, says, what do you do when you're wearing your camo pants? Are you going to change purses? Because I can't wear camo and camo.
No, you can't. That's a little goes a long way. Wendy, a little goes a long way. But do you only have one purse? You don't switch purses throughout the day?
No, I find I have a million and one purses. But,
right.
You know, I like to keep to one I like, and now I'm into the camo phase.
But, hey, if there's some you want to get rid of that are business appropriate, you can donate them to Dress for Success. And that's part of this drive, too.
And explain a little about that, Deborah. Dress for Success. My mother-in-law, Annette, took me to a church luncheon, and they had a little boutique set up where you could purchase items, and the proceeds benefited Dress for Success. It's gently used clothing. Tell us a little about that.
Right. The mission of Dress for Success is everything to do with providing a woman with all the tools to help her prepare herself to go re-enter the workforce and be successful in landing a job and thriving in a new job. Mm-hmm. And the first step to that is assessing her appearance and providing her with the outfit that's appropriate to go on an interview.
Yes, because think about it. Lots of people have the skill set for a job, but you only have one opportunity to make a great first impression.
That's it.
So you walk through that door, and as much as you think people are not really looking at you, they're really just looking at your resume, that's not true. They're looking at how you pull yourself together. So Dress for Success gives you an outfit that is very business appropriate and makes you feel confident.
Yeah.
All right, so this is for women to head over to Old Orchard tonight. The Talbot's there from 6 to 8. Real quickly, someone has texted in, what if you have men's clothing you want to get rid of? Obviously, that's not going to help Dress for Success. But you can go to, as you mentioned,
a resale shop. There's
Goodwill,
online resale shop.
Anything.
Goodwill.
Exactly.
Salvation Army, yes.
All right, well, thank you. I'm going to go through my closet tonight and maybe meet you guys between 6 and 8 tonight at Old Orchard at Talbot's.
Please do.
Yeah, great.
We'll and get you into some color.
If you can't get there tonight to donate or shop.
Yes, go ahead, Deborah.
Come on in through Sunday, and you can shop the collection.
Yeah.
Adam's
or online. We have online. Great. It's great online.
Yeah. All right, what's the website?
Talbots.com.
All right. She is Deborah Kavanaugh, Senior Vice President of Talbot's. Pleasure to meet you. And Adam Glassman, Creative Director of O Magazine. I said hello.
I shall, Wendy. Thank you for having us.
Thank you very much. It's 720 WGN. All right. Here at WGN, we just like to help people. That's what we like to do. And I had a lot of fun helping out in one of the JDRF Walks. It was on the lakefront, I think, last year. And we have JDRF Chief Mission Officer Aaron Kowalski in the studio with us, Vice President of Research. You're a doctor as well, aren't you, sir?
I'm a scientist. Scientist, holy. PhD scientist, yeah.
Wow, scientist. Kevin, we got another scientist on this show. Typically, we don't have a lot of scientists on this show.
Well, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. JDRF, I want to talk a little about diabetes, being the child of a diabetic parent. My father passed away when he was 46 because of complications from diabetes. And I believe that was type 1. That's what it's insulin-dependent. And right. It's not diet controlled. It is your pancreas is not creating any insulin whatsoever, correct?
Right. So there are two main forms of diabetes. Type 1, which used to be known as juvenile diabetes. But it's a little bit of a misnomer because type 1 diabetes can happen at any age. Our chair, international chairperson Mary Tyler Moore was diagnosed in her 30s. But that is a disease, type 1, where your immune system kills the cells that make insulin. And without insulin, you'll die. So there's no diet or exercise. You have to take insulin or you can't survive. Type 2 is more of a metabolic disease where your body doesn't use the insulin properly. So you can often, but not always, treat it with diet and exercise and some other types of medications that are different than insulin initially. So two different diseases with the same name.
Which is very confusing.
It is confusing to people.
And it's funny because it is really, when I was growing up and my dad had it, not a lot of people had diabetes. And it was whenever we would talk about, oh, dad's on a diabetic diet, I thought diabetic and dietetic was the same thing because I was a little kid.
Right.
But you're surprised to hear how many people have diabetes. Jay Cutler has it. I was at a hospital watching a little slideshow and video while I was waiting to get taken, and there was a whole great thing how this young boy looks up to Jay Cutler because back in the day, my father couldn't play any athletics because he would bruise. That's all changed, hasn't it?
Well, it's amazing the transformations. My family, we have two people with diabetes. My family, my brother was diagnosed when he was 3, and I was diagnosed when I was 13. And back in those days, when he was diagnosed, there was just urine testing, a few shots a day. Diabetes complications were prevalent. Now we think of the amazing transformation. It's still very hard. If you talk to families, it's tremendously hard. But amazing role models like Jay Cutler, like Ron Santo,
yes,
the Chicago legend, and we're so incredibly grateful for all WGN has done and your listeners to support the Ron Santo walk. And he was an inspiration back in those days. Now we have many inspirations, and I'm proud that JDRF has played an important role in a lot of the advances that have happened in type 1 diabetes research and treatments. Our goal is to cure the disease, but in the meantime, I always tweet, we want diabetes no limits. And I've run 19 marathons with type 1. Still an incredibly difficult disease to manage, but we have come a long way, and research is the driver of a lot of that.
And, you know, when you mentioned Ron Santo, of course, he is the one you think of with diabetes. I shouldn't have even said Jay Cutler first, but I was trying to show young kids today
absolutely.
That, you know, there is a role model. But Ron would joke about it, too. And that's what kind of happens. My aunt was a diabetic. She was type 2 and a lot of obviously circulation problems involved. And she had lost a portion of her toe. This isn't funny, but the story that comes with it is she had said to her grown up adult daughter, oh, my gosh, my toe fell off in the bed. And so my cousin came back and handed my aunt a $10 bill, and my aunt said, what is that for? And she said, the toe fairy came.
Oh,
because, I mean, this is what you live with diabetes.
You have to, I think, again, I'm lucky to go out and travel and talk to a lot of people. And people try to always make the best of challenging situations. And I was with a woman named Dr. Natalie Strand last week, and she won the amazing race with type 1 diabetes.
Wow.
You know, this travel around the world and do all this crazy stuff. And she has a motto that says, diabetes is a challenge, but I'm not limited. And I think that's, you know, when people kind of take a very difficult situation, try to make the best of it. What we're trying to do at JDRF is, we don't want people, you know, losing limbs. It's still a deadly disease.
Absolutely.
And how can we change that? And I think, again, when you think about WGN and the folks in Chicago, Chicago has been such an incredible supporter of diabetes research. So many tremendous champions here. And it's going to change how we live with diabetes until we have a cure.
Is there any connection to, like, living in the Midwest and our diet to getting diabetes?
So type 2 is obviously very linked to diet, and weight is a driver. It's still a very genetic disease. And people, I think, with type 2 sometimes are stigmatized for what is a real disease. But for type 1, we don't understand what triggers it, because it's an autoimmune response that is not linked to diet.
The pancreas just kind of stops producing?
The immune system attacks the cells that make insulin for reasons that we still don't completely understand. So there are genes involved, but there's an environmental trigger. What's scary is it's going up. And that gives us a lot of pause and concern. We are really focusing, working with the NIH. One of our other partners is the Helmsley Charitable Trust. Huge amounts of research to understand the trigger, because if we can understand what triggers it, we could probably prevent it. And that's a big priority of ours at JDRF.
Aaron Kowalski, Dr. Aaron Kowalski in the studio with us, JDRF Chief Mission Officer and Vice President of Research, a good family friend who's a young girl, just found out she was type 1 diabetic, and the pump has changed her life quite a bit. Strides have definitely been made.
Yeah, the technology is amazing. I've been fortunate to work on a project at JDRF we call our Artificial Pancreas Project, which is taking these technologies and starting to automate how you give insulin. You probably remember your father giving injections or shots of insulin.
Like 4 times a day.
Yeah, and that's, you know, hard. And you can imagine doing that. I met a family last night who has a 21-month-old. And they are using a pump already. Imagine giving a shot, 4 or 5, 6 times a day to a kid like that. The other side of it is, even doing all the finger poking and shots, it's really hard to manage glucose levels. So some of the computer technology that we have can now be applied to diabetes. I can look at my glucose number. I can pull out my cell phone.
Is there an app for that now?
Yeah, there's an app for that now.
Get out of here.
It's amazing. And instead of poking my finger, just look at it on my phone. My brother, who has diabetes, has low blood sugar challenges. His wife can see his number, and if he's dropping, can text him, hey, did you have a snack? Pretty soon, the pumps will run automatically. So for your listener, they'll be able to sleep overnight and not have these glucose excursions that are so dangerous. It's a transformative time. We're driving towards a cure. I mean, the amazing advances on stem cell therapies and other approaches. In the meantime, the technological revolution is absolutely positively impacting type 1 people.
Big time. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and then there's an event that we'd like to invite everyone out to, and I want to talk about the dogs too, because that is just amazing to me. Dr. Aaron Kowalski, JDRF Chief Mission Officer and Vice President of Research. It's WGN Radio 720. It's Wendy Snyder here. Bill Leff is off today. Bill's off, and he hopefully will be returned tomorrow. He's on a secret mission. He's hanging out with Donald Trump. In the studio, we have Aaron Kowalski. He is a scientist. He is the JDRF Chief Mission Officer, Vice President of Research. And let's talk a little about the JDRF Illinois Type 1 Nation Summit that's going on this weekend.
Oh, this is a great event. And what we're doing here in Chicago, and I've been fortunate to go to a few of these around the country, is really bringing folks from around the community here, experts, talk about progress in diabetes research, to talk about strategies to cope with different situations. I'm giving a talk on exercising and type 1. I mentioned I've run marathons. I'm looking out the window here and was fortunate to run the Chicago Marathon once, which was amazing. How to go to school, how to just live with type 1 successfully. And JDRF puts on these events, and the one in Chicago is over at McCormick Place on Saturday. And I if you have type 1, it's an amazing event.
And it'll help. And we have some people who have some questions and comments. Joanne, this is Aaron Kowalski. Did you have a comment or question?
Well, I've been wearing the pump for 22 years. I'm 82 years old.
God love you.
Probably saved my life. I've had no problems. I've had no kidney problems, no problems with my feet. But I worked for doctors all my life and take care of myself. I must test my sugar maybe 5 times a day, but I keep on top of it.
So, I mean, you can live a wonderful life with diabetes. And
I do everything. The only problem is when you go on a cruise and you wear a fancy dress, you don't know where to put your pump. make little tags or something on the side or a little loop so I could hook it under my arm or something, you know. But other than that, I can't say enough about them. And my doctor always said they could cure diabetes, and I hate to say this, but they said they could cure diabetes, but it's so much money involved. Like 4 bottles of my insulin, if I didn't have insurance, is $800. My pump supplies run $2,000-$3,000 every 5 or 6 weeks.
Well, save your money and go on another cruise and maybe try a feather boa or something.
And you know, it is an important issue. I think this is something that JDRF is really weighing in on. I work with our team in Washington. Making sure new diabetes treatments are accessible and affordable to people is a top priority of JDRF. And we have an initiative for continuous glucose monitors in the Medicare population and making sure those are available. So it's a real issue, and that's something that we are working hard on to make sure that people have access.
Well, let me tell you, doctor, my brother was only 33 years old, and we lost him with diabetes problems. Mm. And they took him into Chicago to transplant the kidneys and the pancreas, but he didn't make it. So,
Sorry to hear that, Joanne. Good luck to you and in your life, because you can live a normal life, and I shouldn't even say a normal life. You can live life with diabetes type 1.
Diabetes no limits is my motto.
I like that. Again, if anyone's interested in attending this type 1 Nation, this is where you guys all come together for a summit this Saturday at McCormick Place, you mentioned?
At McCormick Place, yes.
And how do they register? Is there a fee? How do we get involved
with this? There's a $15 per person fee, so that's pretty reasonable. And there was online registration probably now. We're getting close to the weekend. The best way is to contact the local folks here in Chicago at JDRF. And the phone number is 312-670-0313.
All right, and you had mentioned something when we were talking before the break about a little baby. Was it an 18-month-old baby or 21-month-old mm-hmm. baby who's already has the pump because you have to monitor the insulin and get that into the system? I have been reading about these dogs that can sniff out if the insulin level is low. How does this work if the blood sugar falls? This is amazing to me.
Yeah, these dogs are really interesting. I know a number of families who have them. We don't completely understand how they do it. You know, they're used in beyond diabetes and cancer, for example,
is
a good example that many people know of. They're trained to probably recognize cues on folks' breath, probably behavioral changes. My brother, who has type 1, you can sense when his blood sugar is going low just by slight changes. And I think the dogs are very sensitive to that. But the bottom line is at for people who are using them, they seem to work. And, you know, even as a scientist, you know, I like scientific experiments and understanding things. If it works, I think that's great. And I mentioned to you that we have a volunteer. She wrote a book about this called Ellian Coach. And I read it and I loved it. And some of the people say, well, we don't have scientific proof about how this works. And I said, it doesn't matter. She's doing better. And
that's
if somebody
all that
with diabetes
counts.
Is doing better and they do it with their diabetes service dog, that's great in my mind.
Well, a lot of people with questions, they can find the answers if they go to Type 1 Nation this Saturday, March 5th. It will educate. It will inspire. It just things become people's hobby. And I think if you find out your child has diabetes or you yourself discover you have it, try and find out all the information you can about it, because then you can live with it. And what is your saying?
And diabetes no limits.
I like it. Yeah. Thank you so much. Again, the phone number to call to register for this weekend's summit.
Yeah, the summit is 312-670-0313. And I would be remiss in not pitching the walk, our Ron Santo walk, which comes up in the fall. But We'll start registering people. The Chicago, Ron Santo played such an incredible role with the walks, and that's a great way also to get involved in the Type 1 community, and the JDRF folks do an amazing job here.
And more information can be found at JDRF.org?
Yes,
JDRF.org. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. This is really fun.
Dr. Aaron Kowalski, JDRF Chief Mission Officer and Vice President of Research. Again, you can go to JDRF.org to find out more information, or if you want to go to the Type 1 Nation Summit this Saturday, call this number, 312-670-0313. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Bill is off today. Hopefully he'll be back tomorrow. He is out on a special assignment, as we like to say. We're going to take a quick break and check in with Rokan and Anna DeVlantes next on 720 WGN.